Hey everybody, my television show, Trip Flip, premieres Sunday night, March 17th at 8 p.m., 7 Central on Travel Channel. Set your DVRs, tell your friends, and as always, go to birdbirdbird.com.
This is the Birdcast.
Alright, we're recording, by the way. Is Nerdist do tie glasses?
Yeah. So, did you do Todd Glass's show?
No, but I really enjoyed Todd Glass's podcast.
Because that's Katie is the
that's his Katie.
Producer of that, yeah.
I was always wondering, like, I don't envision Todd to be super technologically advanced. Mm-mm. Considering, like, he didn't have an email address until somewhat recently, or a computer, rather. But, like, I listened to the podcast, and it was really well produced, and it was really fun. It was really totally different than other podcasts, too, don't you think?
Well, yeah, Todd's different than other podcasters. He's unique. I've never listened to one all the way through because they're usually 3 or 4 hours long.
But yeah, that's how
I've heard parts of it, and I was there for one. He did one at the LA Podcast Festival, and I was in the audience heckling him the whole time. And he's just he's a massive talent, and the people that have the time to listen to those long.
I was on a train one time and I listened to him and Rory Scovel do the bum bum ba-na, bum bum ba-na, ba-na, ba-na. Did you ever see that
the bit where not Fred Sanford but Red Fox
was introduced shit.
Was bum, introduced bum, Billy Crystal claims he was there at that show. That's that's kind of how that story got around, and I've always questioned that Billy Crystal was actually there.
Yeah.
And maybe that it even actually happened. But it's so funny that Red Fox would come out and the crowd was too small, so he said,
"Hey, look who just showed up.
Fuck it." And then
Ari Shaffir.
"What's up, dude?
Here, grab a seat over there, grab the mic."
There's a mic on every chair. How many
no
special
one. I
guests?
No, I can get Joey Diaz over here in 5 minutes, though, if you want.
Well, there's another mic right there.
I know. I feel like in case Priscilla comes in.
A Joey Diaz booking would increase listenership by 40%.
You're telling me I just posted one with him today?
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's such a interesting dude in the sense that when he tells a story, yeah. Like the part he doesn't find funny is the funniest part. Like, he was telling a story about how he got bit by a dog, like, 6 times when he first moved to America. He just kept getting bit by dogs. He didn't understand why. He was like, they just don't like me. He's like, Bert, I got bit by a dog. Like, I had a dog pass me with its owner and then come back to bite me. But he dropped that so, like nonchalantly. And I was obsessed with the visual of a dog coming back, like, going, ah, fuck, I got to bite this kid. But, yeah, he's hilarious. I've been complimenting Doug on my podcast recently as one of the sharpest comedic wits I know. You are one of the quickest dudes.
You're pretty good riffing. When did that happen?
I just sit here silently. I don't know what to do with that question, guys. I'm a genius. super fast on my feet.
Can we
smoke in the man cave?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
did you
nice.
Just start doing that for like years?
What?
Like get better at it? Fucking around with crowds and like riffing?
Oh, well, I don't know if better at it's the right word for it. Just like if it's your audience, you're more comfortable with fucking around. Like it's always funny to me, like when you're next in a comedy club on a night when there's like, you know, 10 comics or whatever, you know, the store or improv. And it's always funny to me when the guy before you is doing crowd work and doing it in a way like they're stalling. Yeah. You know, like they're not doing it in a way like that's what's entertaining about them. They're doing it more like, well, I'm tired of my act and I got to do more time. You know, it's just like, well, just get off the stage. You know, like you can go in the bar and just talk to people about what they do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, the stories is some bad you know? Crowd work sometimes.
And a lot of the crowd work is about just putting the person on the spot and trying to find something about them that you can embarrass them. And then everyone laughs because it's like they're not the person that's being pointed out. You know, and yeah. I like a more, slightly more organic version of crowd work where it's either somebody yells something out and you respond to it, You know, that's, I don't have things to tell hecklers to shut up. I follow up with, why did you just yell that? You know, like, why are you doing that during the show? And do you know that that's inappropriate? And then let's find out if it was worth the trouble or not to talk to you. And then if the person keeps going, you know, then eventually they get thrown out. But
Barry Katz told me when I first started stand up, he was like, I notice you're going into the audience to ask questions you don't know the answers to. I was like, yeah. He was like, never ask a question.
You should always know exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
Because that's the beauty of stand-up comedy is it always goes perfectly and according to plan.
You want to know the answer to
something. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous note. Yeah. I hate those kind of notes.
How cold does it get there?
I hate those things in general. When I was first starting out, a guy told me, a successful comic said, you cannot have facial hair and be a stand-up comic.
What? He said,
facial hair is not funny.
You mean like George
Carlin?
I was
like, you're out of your goddamn mind.
I was told, I almost wonder if this is the exact same comic, because I was told having facial hair is a big hindrance in comedy. You cannot be funny with facial hair. And then I rationalized it. Okay, so when I see Richard Pryor with a beard or George Carlin with a beard, were they working on material? So they were like almost putting a hindrance on their stand-up, so then they shave the beard off and it's just sandbags and it goes that much funnier?
You thought it was a genius attempt?
Like your material has to overcome your beard.
Yeah, and if you can overcome the beard, it's like doing
Well,
it
look
like,
at us, guys. We're making it happen.
That's like the University of Kansas used to practice on a smaller rim.
What?
Yeah. They put this addition to their rim that like shortened it, like made it like diameter width. I don't know what the fucking – what do you call wider?
I don't know, but I just – as soon as you said the word rim, I was just running through a bunch of dirty things, dirty jokes to say.
Yeah, then when they took it off for scrimmages or games, they'd be like, whoa, this thing's gigantic.
When did they win a championship that year?
I don't know.
But then you get a ball out of guys like, oh, I don't want to take the shot. I'm going to miss.
Yeah, everybody gets really worried.
It's smart. It's a smart way to do it. Like, I know a lot of professional golfers use a ping pong ball. And then
I actually considered that for a second. I was like, really? Oh, wait, no.
Shut up. How is that possible?
You have a lighter?
Yes.
I don't have a lighter. I brought my own weed, but I don't have a lighter.
The
smokers are for.
Thanks, dude. Anything smaller? Do you have a smaller lighter?
No, I
don't know why lighters are bigger. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because it lasts longer if it's a bigger one.
Well, if you smoke a pack. Yeah, because there's more fluid in it. If you smoke a pack a day.
The circular kind that was like just the size of a cigarette that you could put in your cigarette pack. Those were cool.
Wait, I don't remember. Oh, I remember those.
Long,
yeah.
Circular.
I used to smoke. Do you ever smoke cigarettes?
Uh-huh. When I worked at the store, when I worked the back door.
I used to love smoking cigarettes. It was the coolest thing in the world.
It was cool.
Fucking really cool.
The Sklar brothers told me that once. I was playing. We were all playing basketball together on Saturdays. I used to. And
how big was the rim?
Same size, normal. But I was smoking. I was like, all right, sorry, game's starting. So I was trying to like smoke more and then put it out. And they were like, what are you doing, Ari? It's bad for your health. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Well, it is kind of comical when you see people that are still smoking. And you're like, hey, man. Like, no, not that, Doug. Like, that makes sense. But
yeah. No, I was looking at that squirrel running around on your backyard.
That's Coco.
You name the squirrel?
We feed the squirrel. My wife is straight up redneck, and there was a squirrel in the backyard that seemed like friendly when we first moved in. So she got some almonds, and Coco had a Coco gets the oranges out of the tree and eats them up in the girls' treehouse. Coco had a mate that Priscilla killed.
Yeah, I was gonna wonder. I was like, why Priscilla won't Priscilla kill?
Coco's smart and stays away from fucking Priscilla, but the mate was ballsy as shit.
Yeah, she probably learned a lesson when Priscilla killed her husband.
Priscilla, yeah, Coco's now single.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they live up.
But getting by just fine. Proof that single gals can make it.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see one of those videos
in this town.
Two animals will, like, snuggle with each other, like a dog will snuggle with a squirrel or something. It's like two animals that shouldn't, but they're all nice
France.
To each other.
I saw that in France. A dog and a cat laying in the same bed together. And they were like – and the guy who just had it there, and everyone was taking pictures. And I don't think he was making any fucking money off of it. But me and my buddy Weecho lost it. Is that Joey?
Yeah, it's Joey.
Get over here, Joey.
Come over to Bert's right now.
Come on over.
Me and Doug and Bert are all here. We just started a podcast.
Who's over there?
Me and Doug Benson and Bert Kreischer.
Oh, shit. Nah, I'm busy. I'm running a bunch of shit. You doing all right?
He's doing a bunch of shit.
I was checking in with you, but I'll give you a call in a little while.
Okay.
I gotta go to fucking Hollywood now for some meeting. So.
Oh, are you there? All right.
Tell him I said hi, and tell him I posted his podcast today.
Oh, Bert posted.
I'll call you later.
Okay.
All right, bye.
I love that he called you on the phone to check in.
He checks in. That's what he does.
He's heading to Hollywood. Got to check in with Ari.
Yeah, I'm his friend in Hollywood.
He checks in like he'll drive by our house to make sure it's not on fire.
Really?
Like on his long ride. So, yeah, Leanne saw him drive by one night. She goes, I think Joey Diaz drove by and just kind of checked out our house. I was like, well, he's either casing it or he's making sure you're safe.
We're deciding later.
No.
Yeah, he always just, his conversations last like 2 minutes tops.
Yeah.
I guess that's why you don't mind him calling.
No, not at all.
Because nobody calls me.
No, really?
Yeah.
Text only.
Yeah, fucking send me an email.
Aw.
Yeah, you're not a big phone call kind of guy. It's interesting people that are big Twitter DM people or text people.
I'm trying to make more phone calls. I'm trying to make myself make more phone calls.
What makes you have more friends?
Because you want to get more cancer in your head?
No. Don't worry about that.
Wait, that's not why.
Wait a minute.
I fell away from it. And it's like, why don't I talk to people anymore?
Oh, yeah, I could see that. But I talk to people, you know, face-to-face a lot. And I... You know, my phone is always off from ringing because I'm either in a movie, airplane, or on a podcast, or on a stage. Like, everywhere I go, it's inappropriate for your phone to go off.
Yeah.
So I just don't have it on, and nobody calls me.
Wait, what concert did you see the other night that you put on Vine?
Oh, 311?
God damn it. They're still together?
Dude, not only are they together, they are... Their fans are insane. Like, they have the biggest fan base. Like, how many bands do you know have hundreds of people on Twitter that have the name of the band in their name?
John Smith.
Like, there's so and so 311.
Are you serious?
Blah 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 311.
Dude, I made a post on Twitter about it. Like, you know what? 311 is just no good. They've never
Oh my god!
And I got so much hatred.
Yeah, because it's your crowd likes them.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Why? It's stupid fucking beach rock from the East Coast.
Oh,
it's
wait.
Really,
it's
really
song.
Catchy, and they're great musicians, and it's a jam band where the songs are actually short, and they also don't, you know, they end the songs, and they have melodies, and. Yeah, I'm a huge fan, but I always liked them because I saw them a lot when they first broke because I lived in L.A. and went to a lot of like K-Rock shows and stuff. And then but a few years ago, I got invited to go on their cruise and do stand-up because Peanut, the bassist, is a fan of comedy and likes me. And so I did it, and it was the greatest 3 or 4 days of my life. Really? And
what cruise line?
I'm going again on I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Miami, and on Friday, this time it's on a Norwegian. It used to be Carnival.
Oh, wow. Norwegian's pretty pimp, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, Carnival's the one that just had the shit boat.
Yeah. Carnival's a great cruise line. Carnival's a great, great cruise line.
No, yeah. Yeah, Carnival is always shit boats. No, they just had one shit boat.
How many? Accident. No, that's planned.
Bert, how many? You're a travel expert.
Yes.
How many?
Oh, yeah.
How many cruises do you think are out on the seas of the world right now? 1,000?
Probably, yeah.
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 So they made such a big deal out of that shitboat, and if I was with the cruise company, I would have gone right on TV and said, 999 boats are out there right now, and they're not shitboats.
Can someone do a story about our not shitboats?
Someone talk about the buffet.
Because people don't need more reasons to be discouraged from going on a cruise.
Yeah.
And that news story, the one where the cruise tipped over in Italy, they would not shut up about that. Yeah. And I went on a cruise right around the time that happened. Every time I go on a cruise, there's some horrible cruise thing happened right before.
I was always afraid of getting murdered on a cruise.
Why? International
interesting.
Because there's no laws. And not only no laws, they can't. There's like no extradition. It's like a nightmare.
Can't try you
a
lot of people, it's like the law of the boat or something.
It's
right?
The law of the sea.
Like you'd be.
Let's say you rape somebody. Who's going to put you
in
jail?
I think rape might. I don't know.
Can't get away with murder or rape just because you're on a boat.
No, rape. The rape is the only reason. I will say rape's definitely illegal on a cruise is because the victim is still there.
This should be their selling point. Come on our cruise where rapes are illegal.
No, it's because the victim's still there. On a murder, they don't find out, and there's no proof. There's no – you just dump someone overboard, don't call for it, say nothing. There was a huge thing.
So there's no police.
But they also anytime anything body size goes overboard on a ship, they know about it. There's people watching for that.
No.
Yeah, there is.
At night, late at night.
No. I guarantee you I could throw someone off a fucking boat. You
probably have some cameras.
I could easily throw someone off a boat. Not the Lido.
I wish there was some way we could prove this.
That, what was that movie with the takeoff of that Hitchcock movie with Danny DeVito and
Throw
Mama from the Train.
Someone just had a funny tweet about that last night.
Bullshit.
I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was going to push her off. And
do you know who it is?
Stalling.
About Throw Mama from the Train?
Yeah.
It's about time somebody tweeted about it. What is it?
I forget. I forget.
I read the funniest tweet. Like, I remember it.
I forget who it was. I want to say it was Pete Holmes or like one of those guys. You know, that like.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So far, I believe you.
I just did We Made It Weird. You Made It Weird movies with Pete. And that's where you just sit with Pete and watch a movie. And then the person at home, when they buy it, they can sync it up and, you know, watch the movie and listen to us talk.
Like Dark Side.
But it just becomes. It just becomes whatever Pete wants to talk about the whole time. It's off of what's happening on the screen, but it's not all about the movie. You know?
Like, oh, I did something like this once.
It's very it goes on a lot of tangents.
I'd want to do that with him, but watch Miracle, where I cry like four or five times.
Oh.
I cry, or fucking Time Traveler's Wife. I cried.
Why is that one so sad to you?
Because it's representative of my existence with my family. Because
you're traveling all the time.
And I wake up naked.
And you come back naked.
Yeah.
Is that when he goes to the mailbox?
And you visit your wife.
No, that's...
You visit your wife when she was 8.
Yeah. No, yeah.
That's
exactly.
When she first fell in love with you?
Yeah.
When you showed up naked in a field when she was 8?
It's pretty fucking weird. I know.
Scarring her.
About that. Yeah, that is. No, the lake house is what you're thinking of. Oh, yeah. Or the mailbox or the letter.
Lake house is like a 2-year. There's like a 2-year time jump between his letters and her getting them or something.
I was trying to,
because he lived in the same house or some shit.
I'm obsessed with time travel. Like Quantum Leap was like,
because you regular travel so much that you want to take it to the next level.
Quantum Leap is pretty awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's got to. It's got,
I want
to
start.
He needs. Why not space?
Why not a new network, the Time Travel Channel?
But why don't you go into space before you go through time?
Because space is the final frontier. Then you've got nothing left to live for.
Yeah,
but space is doable at this point, whereas time is not.
It's continental U.S., then intercontinental, then time travel, then space. I think that's the...
Do you think there'd be some sort of time travel in our lifetimes?
I don't.
No. But I fucking...
But you know what I mean? Like, several hundred years ago, people wouldn't know and shook their heads when you said any of these things we have now.
Do you,
you know?
Here's what I was obsessed with this morning.
Like, if you told him about Twitter.
I woke up this morning at 6. Priscilla's got an internal clock that gets up to go eat at 6. And she gets up, and everyone's fucking up. She jumps on the bed, and you're like, okay, I got attacked.
Such a big dog.
Yeah, so I come out, and I'm just like, I walk into the kitchen, and I'm almost like dizzy. I'm like, ugh, I need a cup of coffee. This is going to be a fucking long day. That's what I'm thinking, right? And I was like, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, do you think Native Americans, like, in 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years, woke up like, oh, someone built a fire yet? Or do you think they woke up like, hey, let's get some buffalo? Do you think there was depression back then?
Oh, yeah.
I think they were sad about their lives, but in the same way animals are. You know, like, I think that they just were more like, they just had things they had to do to survive.
Yeah, but I think they were like, you know how sometimes you wake up and it's beautiful outside? Let's say it's California, and it's like, oh, like today, it's February, and it's 75
fucking
degrees.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. So... there's also days we wake up and it's like 20 degrees colder than it should be. You don't think the Indians woke up and goes, ah, fuck. I'm going
to
be cold all day long.
Yeah, I think they'd probably be upset about it, but they still have to go do their thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And then I said to Leanne, this is taking it to the next level. I'm taking the girls to school, and I said it to Leanne, and then I was like, do you think, honestly, the slaves ever woke up in a good mood? Do you think that, like... all slaves dealt with depression.
It's a shitty thing to say that they had good moods, but it's just like being in prison or something. Like, some days are going to be better than others just because, oh, today I got a cookie or whatever.
So do you think that what happens is,
like, yeah,
do you think that what happens is your expectations for good moods lowers, and then you can just kind of spike, like,
yeah,
and then
like your line resets, I think. To, like,
then
what
why
you
can't
expect.
People deal with then how come depression? Like, I've never been depressed. I mean, I've had depression, like base level depression, but never like hardcore, like genuinely diagnosed depression.
Yeah.
How come they can't just reset their levels like dudes in prison?
It's because depression is not really like, oh, I feel depressed, I feel sad about something. It's like a sprain in your brain.
Yeah, okay. it's an imbalance.
It feels the same as like, oh, I got an F on the test. It feels the same as that, but it's really not about
is
that.
It, does their brain, this is real stupid, I don't know if you guys know anything about this, but does their brain not produce enough serotonin?
Yes, that.
Or does it go through the serotonin too quickly?
Or norepinephrine. It could go too much, too little, or norepinephrine too much, too little.
Now, if I took Zoloft, would that just make me that much happier?
I don't know. Take a bunch. We'll see.
Yeah. Try it.
I mean, like, why wouldn't I want to just be a little happier?
Happier. Everyone would, right?
Yeah. Like I started thinking, like, maybe I'll just get on, like, some fucking up, like.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm my. Well,
there's side effects, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many twists and turns in an average day to just, you know, to be like, oh, I'll take these pills and that the happiness will. You know, it's just like me and my marijuana. If I'm high and I get shitty news, it's not. The news isn't easier to take, yeah. You know, just because I'm high,
yeah.
You know, I might be maybe get over it a little easier. But it's certainly when you first hear it, it's just like it's still bad news.
Yeah.
Wait, and when did you start getting high?
I was a late bloomer. I didn't really start till I was like 28.
So, but you know what? You've always been someone that's kind of fascinating to me. It started with like Louis C.K.'s first like 30-minute thing he did for HBO or something, uh-huh. or something like that, and you were one of the people he thanked.
Really?
Is that accurate?
I don't know if it was one of the first ones, but it was one of his specials. I saw him perform somewhere when he was ramping up for it, and I said to him afterwards, I gave him a suggestion for a callback. I don't even... All I know is something. It was something about a bag of dicks, and then he started using it, and then he thanked me in the credits of the special, you know, along with other people. I assume helped him in some way. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was extremely generous.
But it's one of those things that, I wasn't friends with you at the time. You were one of those people that I always thought you were in like a clique that never really existed. I thought you were. With,
no, I'm just friends with comedians.
I know, but like at the time, like I thought there was this Doug Benson clique, and you were just friends with other people that I wasn't friends with. That's ultimately what it was. And so, like, I'd see you at the improv. I remember one time seeing you and Graham Elwood at the improv, and I waved hi, and you both waved hi, and I was like, I should go over and talk or say hi. And then I was like, I think Doug's the kind of person that feels he already just said hi. So I think we're good.
That's why part of why I'm a comedian is just hanging out with other comedians is a blast.
Yeah.
I love it. And there's hardly any that I have a beef with. And some of the ones that I think there should be a permanent beef, I think that they've gotten over it from their side. And I just, you know, maybe I cling to things more or maybe it was less of a thing to them than it was to me.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the thing is I've always
– Yeah, comics are fun.
I kind of – you know, I run in a quote-unquote – I tended to run in an alternative circle sort of.
But you're not alternative comedy.
Because – not really, no. But I started here in L.A., met a lot of San Francisco comics, and when they all came down and also from other places, like David Cross came from the East Coast Proops and Greg Barrett and just all my friends in San Francisco, they all moved down here.
Greg Barrett got lumped in with the alt comics, and I was always like, he ain't an alt comic.
Not really,
no. All of them, so we just had
like this group of friends. It was like kind of San Francisco, L.A. thing that was going on, and then Largo in L.A., there was a very popular show every Monday night.
I went to a Largo
that we
show.
All did.
I went to a Largo show that Colin Hay played at.
For Men at Work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and...
Oh wow!
And they had a lineup before it was comics before them, and it was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
it was really amazing comedy. Like, and the Sklar Brothers, and the Sklar Brothers are not alternative by any stretch of the means. I wouldn't venture to say. I think they
would say that.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, I always saw them as just.
It's a scene that I've never been, you know, never turned my back on or been proud of. It's just more like, oh, that's just what they named all of us that. Might walk out there with you know, notes or something or
define exactly.
Yeah, it's really,
it really
weird.
Is.
It was really weird. It was more just like, you know, we all, you know, it was almost like the lady that was booking the Largo show at the time. It was sort of reflected her taste.
Oh, yeah, just what she would be into.
Yeah, Lisa Leingang, who's now a TV executive in New York, but she would book the shows every Monday night, but it would also be all of her friends, so we'd all be friends with each other. You know, it was also kind of a Mr. Show thing,
that kind of happened that people might have felt excluded from with Paul F. Tompkins and Scott Aukerman and Marilyn Rice Cub and
Mystery Show.
Huh?
Scott Aukerman was on Mystery Show.
Right? Mm-hmm. He wrote on it for several years and
Own UCB?
No. That's the Upright Citizens Brigade. The four people that the troop
Amy Poehler,
Amy, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, and Matt Walsh.
Did you hear about Kurt Metzger starting up that stuff with them?
What?
About?
Oh, it was Kurt Metzger? I knew some comics said to them,
Kurt is
kind of like, hey, if somebody performs in your theater, you should pay them, even if it's just a little bit.
I didn't realize he had started it. I heard about the to-do.
I didn't know who started it. I just got like an email from Matt going, hey, I want you to know that this is our philosophy. And, you know, and we're and blah, blah, blah.
Wait,
and it's like,
started this?
Uh-huh. Because he went there. He's like, wait, it's packed and they're all paying a $5 cover charge and you don't want to pay me for subway fees? Why? What do you mean? And they're like, well, you know, it's tough to pay for everything. He's like, you have three locations. What are you talking about? Yeah, you're barely getting by.
Right. But that's his argument. But there's the rent on all the places and also in New York especially, but also out here in L.A., you have to pay out your nose for all these different fucking permits to even
to open up a second place in New York.
To try to keep it going. Like they've put a lot of their own money into it.
Oh, really?
Besser has. And it's more of a place for, and that's what I've used it for.
That's what the classes are.
Is a place for me to.
Wait, they have classes?
Classes.
Yeah, they have classes and stuff too. Yeah.
To teach how to do stand-up?
But that doesn't pay for everything.
Improv and stuff.
Matt has a podcast called Improv for Humans, and there's an episode that's him and Ian discussing the philosophy of the place and how it all works. And just very exasperated because of what Metzger stirred up. Because, you know, for years, I guess no one had complained. And because I love it, because it's always been a place for me in New York and L.A.
Yeah.
to just say, hey, can I put on a show? And they say, OK. And they competently handle everything. And I just have to show up. And they also get great crowds of kids. But a lot of their shows are free to get into. Doug Loves Movies has been free the entire time I've been doing it there.
Doug Loves Movies.
And they have a staff. They have a staff that's working. What?
That was sold out.
Yeah.
When you do
the one out here only seats 115 people.
We did one together, the two of us. That was the one where – was that the one where I was the most ignorant man alive?
Brody?
Was that,
is Brody on that too?
Oh, Brody was a different one. Yeah, Brody's where we started off. Yeah. Brody.
You've done it twice.
I've done it twice.
And on one of them, the one with you and Ari and a third person.
Brody. And then I did
– was it Brody?
Amy Schumer.
Whoever it was. The one with the two of you and that third person, like it was all Death Squad guys.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Sam Tripoli, was it?
It was Brody.
It was Brody.
Yeah.
Okay. That episode got the highest on the individual episode rankings on iTunes of any episodes of Doug Loves Movies.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
At that time, I think some may have – there's been some special ones. Like,
he had an episode with Sarah Silverman and Barack Obama.
No, I do.
I did it by 2000.
Yeah, yeah. The Barack Obama is the important one there. I mean, Sarah's great and all, but she does plenty of podcasts. I think it was just the Death Squad people just really glommed onto that one episode, and they're not necessarily regular listeners to Douglas Movies.
But then they subscribe, right?
Or maybe we've got some since then, yeah.
I bet a bunch stayed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, oh, what's this thing?
I'm
the
sure.
one I did with Amy Schumer, I kept saying massively inaccurate facts that were like it started with she said a joke about Princess Leia, that lady, Carrie Fisher.
Who just had like a mental breakdown on a cruise line and is hospitalized.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah, she was supposed to perform on some cruise, and I guess her performance was just like this incoherent.
It can fucking – performing on a cruise, I do it for my buddy Cowhead's cruise. I used to. I haven't done it in a while. But those performing on a cruises gives me anxiety because I got to hang out with those people all week. Mm-hmm. And then they know me intimately. And then when I go up and do stand-up, if I feel like I'm getting too much into a bit, I feel like they sniff it out. Like
because
like,
they know – they've heard you talk normal.
I did – we did an episode on Carnival Cruise for Trip Flip, and the one of the guy's goal in life, one of his, you know, we cater the trip for the people, so whatever they want to do, we do. The guy wants to be a comedian. He's done some open mics in Austin. So I go, fuck it. Well, there's a comedy club. There's a show. I go, then we set it all up, and they're like, yeah, you can be as dirty as you want to be. And I'm like, are we sure about that? Because the rumor's always been no. And they're like, no, because this is a cruise stand-up show. It's not ours. It's not like one we're putting together. It's the cruise's stand-up show with the cruise's people. And I was like, you're certain This guy Butch was like, you can do as dirty. I go, listen, when I say dirty, like I need to know that you. And he goes, as dirty as you want to be. I go to the pre meeting and I ask the guy who's the comic. I go, so we can be as dirty as we want to be. And the guy goes, yeah. I mean, you can't say like F bombs and stuff. And
what?
I go, that's fucking dirty. Like, just for
that's
the record.
Not even.
And I go, can I talk? And now we're in a meeting.
Yeah, fuck doesn't even mean fucking sometimes.
Yeah. It
means bomb. And so I go, can I talk about eating pussy? And now this is a meeting with, like, all the reps, all the execs. And they're like, well, yeah, but you just can't use those words. I go, guys, that's what I meant when I said fucking dirty. I said dirty is dirty, in my opinion.
This isn't the jerking off episode of Seinfeld where they never say the words and they spent weeks trying to come up with euphemisms that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's my goddamn act where I want to talk about eating pussy.
Yeah, and so,
I don't have to say master of my own domain and shit like that because I'm in a goddamn comedy club.
I'm kissing her heart from the outside. Uh-huh. So I go, fuck it. We're too close to doing it. We've already scheduled it. Everyone knows what we're going to be doing. And I go, guys, you told me dirty. I'm going to go and do my act. And I went up. And now, mind you, I'm hosting. Okay, like I'm also hosting. Which so you got to like you can't just talk about like so you got to ease into it. I go do a couple jokes. I do like something about my kids, something light. Then I do this joke that I've been telling that's been doing really well about my wife farting during oral sex. And it's a killing. It's the bits
rock fucking, the boat.
It fucking destroys. And I'm thinking in the back. Then I bring up my guy and all the black people haze him. Like there's a lot of black people because he's a black comic. So all the black people start booing him. They're like, boo. It's a lot of black people in the room. Boo.
Booing the black guy?
No, booing my contestant. My triplet dude. My triplet guy.
Who is white?
Who's white. But he's also very young.
But why didn't they boo you?
Because I killed.
Because he's a good comic.
Immediately you killed enough to keep...
I killed so quickly. I killed so quickly.
Professional comedian. This guy
yeah,
just
I'm
started.
A, yeah, I'm a real comedian.
But
yeah.
Booing somebody that seems like they're like having a...
Well, I went up.
They're a little scared.
I ripped it for like 15 minutes. Uh-huh. And then like I go, all right, guys. So this is you know what I do on the show. This is my person. I'm going to bring him up on stage. Give him a round of applause. And he goes up and he's trying to... He's definitely new and he's trying to figure out... He opens with a new joke, doesn't work. And then... And the black people are like, you can hear him like groaning, like, and then it cuts to like a longer, really smart joke, but not funny. Like it's smart, but it's better. It would probably kill in UCB because everyone would get it, but no one's getting the reference. It just is lost on the room. And then you hear the woo. So then,
what is that?
It's the fucking siren. Get the fuck off! Sandman's coming to pull you off with
a
hook.
They have a siren?
No, that's it's just black people going.
They're making a siren with their mouths.
Fucking yes! Wow. And so I have to go back on stage, and I'm with the comic whose room this is, and he's like, "Can you do like a little time?" And the guy got a few laughs. He got a couple laughs. He did well enough to get for that room. He did really well, in my opinion, but. Black people weren't having it, and they were sitting all up front, and the like white people were in the back. So I get up on stage, and I see the guy who's been heckling him, and he's wearing an all-white outfit, head-to-toe white, black dude, real black dude. And I go, man.
Real black.
I go, he's like dark. He's dark.
Iberia.
And I go, man. I go, that's real cool. Way to boo him. And the guy goes, hey, man, you got to call like it is. I go, that coming from the human Sharpie. And and the fucking black people lose their fucking mind. I go, stand up. So he stands up. And he looks just like a fucking Sharpie. And fucking win the black people back over.
Coming out.
Yeah. Get off stage and I go to the back where all the execs are. And they're like, you can see their eyes are just lit up like I go, I didn't offend anyone, did I? And they're like, no, it's just, we've just never seen it done that way. I was like, that's what fucking, I would love, I told them, I said, because Carnival has great, I go, why not just let fucking national
real
headlines.
Comics?
Well, the guy that I worked with was really funny, and they're making fucking good money. Like, that's what he was saying. He's like, it's better in the clubs.
I got a few friends that like do a lot of boats. And
why don't they just, I mean, at this point, who's taking cruises? 35-year-olds? 40-year-olds? They want to see Norton.
Yeah. No, that's the thing is cruises are all old people and kids.
Oh, really?
There are a lot of old people. There are a lot of old people.
That's why this whole rock boat thing has been such a great thing because
– For the non.
Because also there's not a lot of that stupid – like most cruise ships, the entire day you have to listen to steel drums playing Hot, Hot, Hot or whatever. Well,
yeah. It's set up – here's the thing.
Gloria Estefan music all day long.
There's great health care on cruise ships. So a lot of old people who don't have the money or don't have health insurance – Just this is where they live. They live on cruises. They cruise.
Wait, what?
Yep, that's what they were talking
cruisers.
About.
What?
They're cruisers. They
old
go
people just
cruise.
Go around
they
on
don't
cruises.
Have a lot of money, so they take
to cruise.
Cruise vacations.
Well, it's
all
like
time.
It's like acquiring airline miles. You get miles, and then you take free cruises, and then basically you're cruising, and you got a little apartment. But the health care on these cruises, is fucking spectacular. It's first class. So these guys go in. They're like blood pressure, fucking check. Get. I mean, they're there, and they're. Basically kept healthy, and they eat for free. I mean, you think it costs a living for a cruise for these two for an old couple?
Yeah, as long as you don't drink, you can. You, once you've paid for the cruise, you're not. You don't have to pay for anything else.
Nothing, and then maybe you do a little slots, and you enjoy that, and you're retiring. It's your retirement plan.
You're just going to cruise it out till you're done.
They're called cruisers, yeah.
But you know, but also, I'm just saying that like it tends to be a family environment. It tends to be bring the kids because you can get a whole family into a cabin for you get the cabin at a cheaper rate based on how many occupants there are.
Oh, right.
You know, like it's $600 a head normally, but if you bring the kids, it's $450 a head or whatever.
And they've got things planned all fucking
yeah.
Long.
They like no, on a normal cruise, you'll hear like. Bing bong in your room at like fucking 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning.
Ooh.
Somebody going, yeah. Today we're going to have ping pong on the Lido deck. And they tell you all this shit that's going on and stuff. And like on the rock cruises.
I just leave a note under your door.
Well, they also have a daily newsletter telling you everything that's going on. The fun times. They also have, like I was saying, steel drums. The bands and the entertainment on the cruise ships, like they'll have like a song and dance show that's just a bunch of kids fresh out of, arts school,
yeah.
Song and dance school will come and put on a little show. It's all very –
They'll do cheesy. Like game show wow. In the big room. There's lots of bingo. They'll do shopping. The best is they do shopping.
Oh, yeah. Come and look at stuff you want to buy.
QVC. And like they've got
live
QVC.
QVC.
And they're like, guys – And during the QVC, they'll show you the product. Then they'll raffle the product off to someone in the thing. So people go because they go, fuck, maybe I'll get a bunch of free shit.
What I'm advocating is go on a rock cruise because most of this stuff doesn't happen. Most people don't bring their kids. And most people don't bring their grandparents. Like rock cruises are really, really fun. Even if you don't love the bands. Well, I did the Weezer one. They're going to do another one of those.
Oh, that would be cool. Funny shit.
Yeah.
They're playing Blues Fest this year in Ottawa. I'm trying to get in just to go see them.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Weezer cruise, I think, is in January of 2014.
Really?
And, yeah, I'd like to go on that one again.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know when the next 311 one's going
to
be. But, like, a lot of big bands have them. Kiss, Kid Rock. They have, like, annual.
Why don't we do a comedy?
Cruises.
Why don't we do a comedy?
They're doing one.
Comedy festival cruise.
They're doing one in September.
Who?
With, I forget which cruise line is, but it's called the Atlantic Comedy Festival. And it's they got Bamford and about 10 other comics. But I heard that, I heard that the comics are doing it mostly for a free cruise. Like there's no, they're not paying a lot. So,
shitty comics,
which is a great reason to go on one of these things. A free cruise is a free cruise. But, find one where you're going to really, really get paid. But mounting your own, like maybe all the Death Squad comics could get away with it.
They should do a Death Squad cruise.
If we could get Joey in.
Could you do anything? I could see Joey going, great idea, or what? Grow the fuck up.
Well, I already know Joe Rogan. When he saw that boat flip over in Italy, he's like, why the fuck were people even on that boat? Yeah. Like, he doesn't understand it at all. Why would people be on that goddamn boat?
We're not supposed to swim. That's why we don't have fins.
But if we could talk Joey into it, get a couple others.
How would it be walking around all day long and stuff?
You have to be friends with all of them.
That's fine. When we did, you have to hang out with them. When we did the Cowhead cruise, it's like a lot of people are kind of wrapped up in their own cruise as well. Like they're on vacation also.
Yeah, but they.
I mean, it would be exhausting for Joey Diaz.
The 311 cruise that I did and the Weezer cruise and.
It would be
awesome. The drunk people that would be like, y'all be sitting talking. They'd be like, come up to your table. Can we sit with you? Like, what?
No, you can't sit with you. Tables are assigned.
Oh, really?
Well,
no, you can't.
Well, that's. It's different from ship to ship. The bottom line is you're with the fucking people. You can hide in your cabin.
Yeah.
You could have the cruise line put you in a part of the boat where they don't have access to. Like 311 has a private area to eat and drink and stuff where the fans can't get to. But if they want to go anywhere else on the boat,
They people will just mob them.
You could totally.
But I'm just the comic on the 311 cruise, so I can go places. And what people will do is offer me weed and alcohol.
I thought you can't bring those on the cruises.
Oh,
not alcohol.
A lot of people bring. Where
in the world do you think pot smokers don't smoke pot?
Big J said he went on Rock Cruise or Rocktober. Maybe it's
and he got in trouble?
No, but they had specific guidelines like do not bring weed on.
Well, yeah, that's how the world works. You're not supposed to have
airlines and with
you're not supposed to have weed in public, even in places where it's legal.
Oh yeah,
even in Amsterdam, you're supposed to stay in the fucking places where it's been designated as a place to smoke.
That's what everyone does.
Wait,
in Amsterdam, you go in the coffee shop and smoke. It's the one place where you go inside to smoke. You don't have to step outside.
Have you ever been to Amsterdam?
No.
Oh, fuck. It's so great.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's so great. I love Amsterdam. All the women are gorgeous. They're all riding bikes. Everyone's
nice.
In great shape.
Well, yeah. You got to go, though. In the winter, it's pretty bleak.
The winter kind of sucks dick.
They have the cannabis cup in the wintertime. So the only time I've ever been is in the winter. Oh. And I loved it because, you know, like I said, you're sitting in a coffee shop. That's what they call them if it means you can smoke there. But they serve food and stuff. So,
like
you're
really
sitting,
good milk.
I've been in a coffee shop at 9 in the morning eating pancakes while smoking a joint in the restaurant.
With an ashtray right there.
Yeah, and a cocktail or a beer or something. Like, it's really fun.
And I don't know what – don't have a license for here, so I don't know what these shops are like here. But over there – I mean, I did a segment for the Showtime, the live from Amsterdam, and we went in to go tape in one of these things. They had a selection of marijuana that would blow your mind. Like, not yours, but like, I was so shocked. And I remember telling him, like
how many different strains? What are we talking about?
Literally, he had a catalog, and then they had their whole desk, the whole counter was different. Like little buds, little nuggets of what everything was, and it was like, He's like, this one's the one Lil Wayne smokes when he comes in town.
Oh,
this one's the one. I was like, I'm looking for the one that Will Smith smokes. Like, but yeah, it was fucking.
Because you're funny.
Yeah.
I love how they make that. Like, this is what Lil Wayne smokes. Meanwhile, Lil Wayne just went in and be like, I don't know. Give me one of those.
Yeah, I'll drink some scissor. Like
I want to get high.
I would love to go. We should do a cruise to Amsterdam on the Princess Elizabeth.
All right. Let's make some calls.
Is there a way it could be not a Death Squad cruise, but just Death Squad be the entertainment on, like, the comedy entertainment of a whatever
once
cruise?
All of us, then the Death Squad people are going to want to come. Are you scared by their intensity?
Yeah, I'm a little scared by their intensity. I'm an introvert, so I like watching people instead of – I'm not like Bert.
Oh, I'm an extrovert.
No,
I would love the Death Squad cruise because I would not pay for one fucking drink. I would have a blast. I would genuinely enjoy it. And at one point you'd be like, I think Bert might be part of them. Like I would – yeah.
Crossed over?
Oh, yeah. I have that problem like when they come to my shows and then – like, I have a problem with intimacy. So, like, anyone – I remember the first time I ever got a fan letter, it was this girl who was, like, a beauty queen. And I think she had been in, like, a car accident or something. And it was right after Last Comic Standing. She wrote me this thing about how I was so funny. I'm such a great guy. And then I replied back. I don't know what I said back to her. But I know her next message was, like, please don't contact me again.
Really?
Why? Yeah, because I was, like, I don't know where to stop typing. Like, I sent an email to my agency. I had a meeting with them, and I really liked the way they talked to me yesterday. And I typed out an email, and my wife's like, let me see that. And then she deleted half of it. She's like, send that. You can sound creepy for the rest of it.
Gross.
Yeah,
lying.
And I get, like, text anxiety.
That's always the interesting thing. Like, the people that produce My Douglas Movies podcast, the website, if somebody just clicks on contact, they can write to us. And those guys get it, and then they decide what to forward to me. And they forward most things that are, like, specifically about me, like, questions they can't answer. And but when they forward me stuff, sometimes when I open it up, I just, like, my head just drops, like, did someone really just send me 2,000 words?
Yeah.
You know, like why not just a sentence or two? Just test the waters instead of telling me your life story.
Before I start, I'd just like to say I'm not the type of person who does this. And, you know, and I've always thought, it's like, scan, I'm out.
That's me.
Yeah.
I was writing a text back to you today, and I had already gotten into character on the text. I don't know if you noticed that.
Got into character?
I got into character.
Yeah.
I don't read the text. But
what does that mean? In Pulp Fiction, it means you're about to murder someone.
As a joke, like sometimes Ari will text me like, "Hey, you want to come over and I'll suck your cock" or something like that, like a joke. And so sure. I'll reply back. And so
I ain't going to try to kiss you.
I ain't going to try
it's
to kiss you.
It's a joke ya. Until you say yes.
I ain't trying to kiss you. And then, but I had gotten so into character in this thing that I started writing so much more. I was like, fuck, erase. Half. Just say yes. Okay, come over, please.
If you can't still see their texts when you keep telling you're writing, then you've written too much. You should still be able to see the text.
Oh, it's long texts are really, really ridiculous.
I so badly wanted to. I don't know. You could. I'll let it out if I don't want to. So, but I so badly when I got that email from Marin today, I so badly wanted to reply like I didn't know other people were CC'd on it. Because it was
pretending
it was,
like you didn't know them.
Yeah. Like going.
Wait, he blind copied the other people.
No,
I saw them all there. Yeah, I saw them all there.
Oh, that's another one of my pet peeves when somebody sends it to a million people and doesn't blind copy.
So they give out your email address to everybody.
And not like any of those individuals are going to take advantage of it, but it just gets one of those people is fucking a spam thing or something.
I'm the lowest on the totem
pole. And so that's
pole.
Just another thing that's just going to send more junk to my to my private email address.
Because they just get everything. Like,
I'm the lowest on that totem pole, and be quite honest with you, before I realized I might get sued, I was extremely proud that I got included on that list. Like, because I'm clearly, everyone else is names. Like real podcasts. And I was like, oh, me too. It's because Marin's doing this podcast, I'm sure.
This is a real podcast.
This is a real podcast. This is, podcast.
This is really happening. Well,
really?
So?
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
You just started, that's all.
Should look
How many
into
episodes
it.
In are you?
This will be 13.
Yeah, by 20 you'll start getting
But I look at, like, Segura hit number 100. How many Doug Love movies have you done?
I don't even know.
Really?
It's been 6 years of them, almost doing at least one a week for 6 years.
Do you
what? Wow.
Yeah.
You started Doug Love movies 6 years ago?
Uh-huh.
What came first? Is a Benson Interruption a podcast or just a show?
It's a podcast, but it was a TV show for 6 episodes and then.
That was a good TV show, by the way. I'm kind of pissed it got canceled.
Yeah, they weren't ever into it.
Eric Abrams said it was the easiest show he had ever had to work on because he had to like do the booking. He's like, so what do I do? And Doug's like, when I call my friends and tell them I want them to do the show, you write down their names. He's like, all right, cool, I can do that.
Done, son.
We still had Comedy Central had their own list that they had to sync up. So there was a few people I couldn't get on that I wanted to. And
who did you want? They won because you got Sarah.
I don't want to name names, but
Nick who? Swartzen?
Swartzen was on.
Yeah, those guys.
No, Sarah didn't do it. Some comics didn't want to do it because it really is kind of an obnoxious thing for me to say. Come and let me fuck with you while you're trying to tell some jokes. Right. And then we get to decide what we're going to put on TV and you don't. Yeah. You know?
I wanted to do that. You texted me the other day about doing. Maybe it was the Benson Interruption?
Now it's a podcast, but yeah. I've only done 20 of them in a couple of years. I do it once every couple months. It's Ari's done it. Uh-huh. It's.
That scares me too.
It's all friends. Ryan. It's all friends, and it's all just us fucking with each other, and then it's, $2 to buy on iTunes.
The funny thing is, it's no longer like start doing your material, and then I'll interrupt you.
No, now because I don't want
fuck around.
Well, because I don't want people to burn their material on a podcast.
All right.
I want to do.
You know, so it's more
it.
Like just come out and just goof off.
I want to tell the machine story and have you do the Benson Interruption for that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Like because I've told it in rote practically, probably 400 times this last year.
Yeah.
And so I would love to, I'm like, before I tape it, because I'm going to do an hour special, I'm going to put it on there. But before I do it, last time I was telling him, I was out of college and I was like, I would love Doug to stop me in this, make me stop in this story.
Ask questions.
Either ask questions or make a joke better or do whatever he does during the Benson Interruption. I was like, I totally want to tell the machine story.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But that
would
be
fun.
Yeah.
Probably Doug, how long does that story take without somebody interrupting you?
10 minutes, 12 minutes.
11, 12,
yeah, so that's going to be tough.
How long did the Benson Interruption?
I mean, each comic gets about that much time. And that's, and that's, I'm sure your story's pretty, packed with punchlines, so
I'll sit there
jumping in. But stories are good. Stories. If somebody came on and like, it's just no one's doing like the old or new bits because if it's a bit that you've written,
you want
to
get that.
That's not the place to do it, you know. But if it's a story like that where you've already told it, so it'd be interesting. People who haven't heard it will be hearing it for the first time, but people who have heard it will be hearing it with this new spin of a guy sitting there saying shit to you while you're trying to tell it.
I could tell it. I think I could tell it in probably less than 12 minutes if you were interrupting, because I would leave out parts and jump to the next part.
Well, I admire your ability to do that, because a lot of people I know, when they have a a routine. They don't really.
Parts
that you're like, this isn't necessary. If I'm like low on time, if I see the light come on a little earlier and a bit,
I'll drop parts out.
But I've seen comedians all the time. They go over by a few minutes because they can't edit as they go.
Oh, that's so fucking so exhausting annoying. When you go. Clearly, a guy did a little crowd work, a little extra crowd work, and now he's 3 minutes over.
He's still got to do the bit.
He's still got to do his closer, and his closer's like starts with this. My name's Steve Byrne.
Yeah, back in the day when I was emceeing, I'd be watching a comic in the back, and they'd do like 10 minutes of crowd work, and I'd go, I'm going to be here 10 minutes longer, because this fucker is not going to cut shit from his act after doing his crowd work part when he could have just in his head gone, oh, okay, I'll do one less of my 10-minute bits.
I've never had a closer. I've never had like a closer, like something I close with every show. I just close with...
Machine?
No, I can't close on that story.
But I'm just saying, jump to the closer if you're going
when
over.
When I see the light, I go, all right, this looks like it's my last joke. Like, anyone that's seen my act knows that's a complete and total lie. I do fucking an hour and a half these days. But when I go, all right, that's it. I got to get off stage.
It's a long lineup too. When it's like other people are.
Oh, I don't do sets like that anymore. I haven't done a set in the city in fucking forever. I feel like.
Why?
So good because I'm only home 2 days a week. Gone. Like I leave on Sunday for a month, and then I come home for like 2 days, and then I go back out to New York. And it's like when I'm home, I just spend time with the kids, and then I do sets on the road. And
I'm the same way. When I'm here, I just spend time with Bert's kids.
They're so cute.
I was dying. Oh, I kind of wanted them to be here when you got here because it's interesting seeing comics interact with my kids.
Oh, I'm great with kids, as it turns out.
Brendan.
You saw how I was with your dogs.
He smokes so much pot sometimes his mind gets down to their level.
No, wait. Did you have any, like, sometimes, like, I won't realize I do it, but I'll tell a story about a guy in my head before I, like the perfect example, Bobcat Goldthwait. I was dying. Like, I was going to work with him one weekend, and then I started doing this story in my head of him. Of like, I didn't know about him, but I start thinking, imagining what it's going to be like to hang out with him. Oh, that's going to be weird. I wonder if we're going to get along. And then I'd imagine that he had like an old, like 57 Chevy. I was like, ooh, what kind of car does he drive? Like, and then my head, then I saw at the time he had a Mercedes. And I went,
God, your mind, man.
I was like, he doesn't.
Non-stop.
I never imagine what car somebody's going to show up in.
Are you serious?
Never.
So you have like a whole plot of like what's going to go down this week?
I wondered this a number of times. I was like, I wonder where Doug lives. Like, I wonder if he has a house, if he lives in an apartment. He's a single guy. He makes a lot of money. Is he I wonder that. Like, and then I go, well, I wonder what kind of car he's driving. Like,
Want to see where I live, all you got to do is look in your daughter's treehouse, because that's where I've been holed up for a while now, just chasing that fucking squirrel away.
You and the homeless guy in the backyard that sings Night Moves.
I don't know why. Coco, I'm glad he didn't see me in there, because he would have thought I was an intruder. No.
He ate the shit out of that orange and left the peel.
Yeah.
I saw him peel it, but he ate the whole thing out and left the
crime. They cleaned the inside of the oranges out.
Wugga.
Yeah, isn't that fucking crazy?
The outside's not meant to be eaten by anybody.
Yeah. My wife fights him for the figs on the fig tree.
Ari's going to go play with the squirrel. But yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, but I'm more like, oh, I'm working with somebody. I wonder, you know, if we're going to get along or not.
Yeah.
Maybe think about, like in the case of Bobcat, probably the first time I met him, I might have had a question about something that he had done or something, like some sort of little conversation starter or whatever. But
I think
you think about stuff.
Like, I saw a video where Todd Glass threw a party at his house. I guess it was a documentary. It was a video he made about a party he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn it, that isn't what I thought his house would be like at all. it was like my sister and I, when we were kids, we'd go to drop off like our friends, and we'd always be in the back like, Mom, can we get inside their house? Because we wanted to see what their inside of their house looked like. It was like fascinating. It's like almost looking in, like getting to see a part of a person.
Dude, one time, so we had this next door neighbor, the Gorlins, and we each had each other's keys. There were these religious Jews next to us, and they went on vacation one week. And I was like, I'm going to go voyeur a little bit. So I took the keys, and I just rummaged through their house.
It's
I just walked around and looked at stuff.
That's why I don't let maids in my room.
Weird.
Because I would fucking go through people's shit.
Yeah.
I would definitely go through people's shit. I'd be like, oh, I wonder what they got.
I'm so glad you're not a maid.
Not to steal anything.
Not to steal. Just out of curiosity.
Uh-huh.
Like if there's like a packed bag in the corner, you'd look through it.
I'd be like, what do you put it all orderly or do you?
Yeah.
Do you just throw shit in?
Especially if it was a like not that I'm definitely not a celebrity, but like if they I'm a travel guy, so if they're a maid, maybe they're like, I don't know, fucking trying to stretch the two together. But like if they recognized me, I'd be like, oh, when I clean his room, I just want to see like, does he wear underwear? Like what? How dirty is he? Like just I'd be fucking fascinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's on the computer?
Like Todd Glass I've talked about Todd Glass twice. By the way, I'm not talking shit about Todd Glass. I think Todd Glass is very funny. But I'm saying that his house
For a piece of shit.
But yeah. His house isn't what I thought it would be. Because one time I saw him.
He's got a nice house, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's well appointed.
And he's got a backyard.
It was a clue that he was gay. We should have all known years ago.
Nice things.
Yeah. I saw him one time driving a Range Rover. We were going into audition and he was passing me and he waved and I was like, woo! Todd Glass was a Range Rover. Just got to reset my whole landscape. I did not know that was what Todd Glass was like. His house just got nicer. Yeah.
I saw Jeff Ross once when I started. I saw him driving a Porsche.
I saw a white Porsche. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
I saw him driving a white Porsche with two porn stars in there with him.
Really?
I don't know if they're porn stars, but they're girls.
But they could have been if they applied themselves.
In my backstory, I was like, Jeff Ross got two porn stars. He's going to fuck.
He used to show up with the hottest girls.
Yeah.
You're right, two. One on HR. He was just like...
Yeah,
the life you've imagined for me is probably so much better than what I'm actually living.
You know what? My life for you is pretty fucking interesting.
I think you play...
Like, I think you're like a tell, and you have a dickload of fucking money. And I think that up until recently, you've been living in in just the same old apartment. And I think finally someone stepped in and was like, Doug, we need to invest that money. You need to buy a house. And you just bought a sick house, kind of like that old Spanish style up in the hills, and now that's what I envision.
Totally not true.
I envision
really?
All of it.
You inviting friends over all the time, playing that game Celebrity, where you write celebrities' names in a hat, and then you have to describe them, and it's like that pretty much 3-4 times a day, most weeks.
Do you care about what kind
I
of
never
sheets
have,
you have?
I never have anyone over. I don't let anyone see inside my apartment.
You a hoarder? Do you just live sloppy?
I got junk everywhere. I don't clean. Mm-hmm. Like fucking cobwebs on shit.
Are you really afraid of spiders?
Nope.
Cobwebs are
fucking terrified of spiders.
Do you really live like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my apartment's nice. It's got a nice view. It's, you know.
You live in Hollywood?
I got my TV. I got my computer. I'm not home much. Even when I'm in LA, I'm running around doing stuff all the time. So I just don't.
Do you have like a.
And I'm not into possessions. You know?
You're not into possessions?
No, I'm into hoarding crap, but I'm not into. Like if I came home, I even am going to say this on my podcast that I'm the next one I tape before I leave for the cruise. I'm going to give the exact dates I'm going on the cruise. And I'm going to say if anyone wants to burglarize my place and get rid of some of that shit that's in there, I would be so thrilled because my computer's my most important thing. And I take that with me when I travel. So I don't even worry about someone breaking in my house. I can buy a new TV. But I'm not – like that thing – there's that thing on the internet that says how much everybody's worth. Yeah.
Ooh, what
and
are you?
What are you worth?
They claim I'm worth $1 million. But that's
$1 million?
But that's like my estate. That's like if I died, I'd be worth $1 million.
Wait, isn't that like in – assumed earnings in the future too. Like if we bought Doug Benson, we could make this much money.
No.
No, it's just supposed to be what you're worth. It's what you're worth.
It's what you're worth. Bill Burr is $6 million.
Waga.
According to them, that's probably wrong.
What are you worth?
I'm my name's on there, but it doesn't have a net worth. It just has my bio, which is actually very accurate. I'm probably at zero.
What's this house worth?
Well, I owe money on it. I don't own it.
So then you're
like, on that fucking boombox.
Yeah, but they don't count that in celebrity net worth. They look at your house and how much you make and what you owe. So like I'm like the typical American. I mortgaged a house. I'm taking out a second mortgage to redo the kitchen and bathroom. And so I'm going to owe – but I mean this house is accrued value.
Yeah.
Since we bought it, because we bought it at the bottom of the market, and now it's raising.
Yeah.
But we're going to leverage that so we can redo it.
But they're saying I'm worth $1 million when
own?
I have never made more than $400,000 in 1 year. So
you
how could I be worth
That's
$1 million?
A lot of money.
That is a lot of money, and
but never, never more. 000.
Well, you don't spend anything on anything. You just have like, do you just save all your money?
No, I.
He supports.
Yeah,
he supports his mother.
This came up on his podcast. My mother's, my dad passed away, so my mom's just alone or whatever, and she's got a gambling addiction. No, but she lives down in San Diego, and so I, you know, and because of this stupid country we live in, there's she's getting very little support in terms of you know, housing or you know, medical.
Yeah,
you know. So I
How old is she?
Huh?
How old is she?
70 something. Yeah, so I have to pay for...
Are you an only child?
Pretty much everything. No, I've got an older brother, but he's got a wife and two kids and, you know, a house and all that shit. I just, you know, I live, you know, very... I don't spend a lot of money and I don't buy a lot of things, but I do what I want to do.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know?
Your way. I'm the same as you. I don't make as much as you, but it's like, what am I going to get? Why?
I was in the car with someone. We were driving by your house. I forget who it was.
Yeah.
We're driving by your place. I gotta forget who it was, but it was someone, one of my friends who listens to the podcast. It's a friend, like a parent friend. And I was like, hey, yeah, you know Ari? And they're like, yeah. And I go, that's where he lives, right there. And the second I said that, an ambulance pulled out of your place. And they're like, ooh, I wonder if that's Ari. But yeah, you don't, like, I guess, I was like that when I was single, and then I got married, and then it all got real. Like, I never signed up for this. Like, I didn't know that this came along with all the marriage and, like, kid stuff.
Oh, that, see, you're probably too busy imagining what kind of car we all drive instead of imagining what being married is like.
Yeah. The kid's like, play just, with me. No,
walked right into this. Glass. I'm thinking about Todd Glass. His backyard seemed nice in that Gardner video. I got his back.
Dude, that guy never stops.
What?
Todd Glass is always on.
I
saw him.
Everything's, he just loves doing bits.
He loves it.
Always wants to do bits.
I was wearing a hoodie at some we saw that the Ben show. They showed, I had a screening of it. Some new sketch show on Comedy Central. But I was wearing a hoodie, and he gets there late. He's like, hey, do you mind if I leave some trash in your hood? Is that cool? And I'm like, I don't know how to react to this. I don't know how much to joke along, but it's funny.
But he loves to do like scenarios and stuff. He'll be like, you pretend to be this and I'll pretend to be that. And
his podcast is fun to listen to.
What ifs? He does a lot of what ifs.
Completely different than any podcast I've ever heard.
Why? What does he do?
Because it is stream of consciousness sketches. So it's him thinking of something and then taking that to the next level. And
he's got this whole crew of guys. He's got a couple really funny comics, but then also just these kind of up and comer, you know, guys and stuff. And like, and lots of, just lots of, there's lots of, after you've listened to a bunch of them, which I have not, you'd have like a whole bunch of different references that you would get if you keep listening.
His premium blend was so amazing.
That's a sentence that's never been uttered about anyone.
It was, he just kept having
Tig Notaro's premium blend was fucking pretty amazing.
He just kept having people from the audience say like, why doesn't he have a half hour special? They would hold up signs like, give him a half hour special.
Oh, are you serious?
I think so. It's a vague memory.
And then his half hour special was just people in the audience, he'd have them hold up signs saying, give him an hour. Like, he just keeps, he never tells any jokes,
give
just
him
keeps
a
moving
deal.
Up. Yeah. Give him a...
He did one of the funniest things. I went and watched Patrice do his...
just recently?
No. Yeah. I love those kind of jokes. Like when you're like, I can't fucking...
You know, the Todd Glass podcast is not that much different from yours.
Yeah, not
you
at
were
all.
Just trying to describe something. You could have just said, it's like this. Yeah. It's somebody gets an idea and then they start talking about it and then you never know where it's going to go. And people listening are still going, but how much does Doug Benson make?
They're people.
You raise questions that never get answered.
But I said this to, I forget who was fucking over here the other day. But I said, what's so crazy now is that I do this, and I hate that I do this, but I definitely, if I go to someone's house, I definitely Zillow it and find out how much they paid for it.
I used to do that. Zillow was amazing. Yeah. You just find out their house worth. Like, how much is this house? I'm not going to tell you.
I'll just
find out anyway.
The best is when you have a friend who tells you how much he paid for it, and like, and then it's not.
You call him on it?
No.
Be like, really? Because like, the app says that you paid
$100,000
more than that.
I had a friend
that
at one time who used to tell me.
Everything on the internet is true, by the way.
Yeah, everything.
I am worth $1 million.
If you Zillow my house, it's like Balzac-ed to the point where I forgot how much we paid, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
But it's a, you can't Zilla anymore?
You can, yeah. You can.
Oh, why'd you say like you used to?
Because I stopped because it was unhealthy. Although I did it this weekend. I did it this weekend. I did it this weekend when I did it.
People say they quit something.
I totally quit except for 2 days ago.
I was in a fight with someone and I was like, fuck her. And then I was like, I shouldn't even get in that deep to it. But I was like, anyway, I was in a fight with this lady and then I was Zilla at her house to see how much she paid for it and if she was upside down on it because then that would make me feel better if they were upside down on it.
Interesting. That'd be fun like when you're playing poker against somebody and they win a big pot. To find out what they're worth, and then if they're like in debt, you can go like, all right, I don't mind.
Or if you think
giving my money to that guy,
I wonder how much this is worth to you. Like, do you need this pot?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, do you ever play those tournaments that Jerry Buss came down at Hustler?
Maybe I did. I played in one tournament with Jerry Buss, but I don't think it was at Hustler.
Yeah, he used to play a lot of tournaments.
Can we only bring up people that have passed away very very recently?
Yeah, but like I always
when you said your mom lived in my mom lives in San Diego, and you're obviously getting to a serious point. I wanted so badly to go big Chargers fan.
She is. I mean, not a big one. Not a big one. Not De Niro and the Eagles in Silver Linings Playbook big, but she.
Chargers games are fun. We should all go down there. You know what Reap wanted to do? Take a party bus down there.
Oh,
get a party bus here.
We should get Reap on the comedy cruise.
Oh yeah, he'd be fun on those things.
Yeah, do a party bus
he's
anyway.
A blast in a controlled environment.
Yeah,
I'd do
some party. Reap, do you know Reap at all?
No,
he's
at all.
A lot like you.
I mean, I do know Reap.
Reap and
Reap.
I both got our drink on every day on Last Comic Standing. We'd like when we were on the bus and stuff, we would smuggle. We'd buy a drink from the bar and then pour it into coffee cups. And take them on the bus and just, you know, sit there drinking all the way to wherever they were taking us.
Dude, we did a couple for a Trip Flip one time who, by the end of the day, they were always fucked up and we couldn't figure out how. Like, we're like, we're not losing contact with them. They do this thing called water bottling where they just pour, like, vodka into water bottles with, like, Sprite. And then they drink that all day. And then I started doing that with fucking the kind of water bottles you get at REI. So
what are those?
The nice ones. They were doing it in like water bottles, like
just refilling an
Dasani
empty one.
Bottles.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This I did it in one of those nice ones that you can clip onto your bag. So what I do when I go to the airport is I go to the airport. I have like four Jack. This is only if it's an early flight. I have four Jack Daniels, and on my flight to Australia, I did it. I have four Jack Daniels in my bag at all time, just in case. Something goes down where they're not serving alcohol. It's, you know, Sunday in Boston, and they don't serve fucking alcohol on Sunday in Boston or whatever.
So dumb.
Yeah, and so I fill it up with water, and then I have fucking Jack on the Rocks, and it's gray, so no one can tell. I did it.
You buy it at the airport.
I get ice. I just go to the airport. And I go, can I get a cup of ice? Pour it into my water bottle. Pour all the Jacks in there, or two Jacks probably is what I really
drink
use.
It out of here.
I like to have two for the flight home too.
Everywhere in Boston on Sunday?
I don't know.
It used to be New York. My friends came to visit me. We're going to go to a Yankee game. And I was like, cool, let me get a six-pack of beer. Three friends. We can have two beers apiece. That'll be nice. Like, oh, we can't sell it to you today. And I lost my shit. I was like, it's not even my religion.
But that's a used to thing.
I don't know if they changed.
No, when I was in Boston, and I don't remember exactly when this was, but it was semi-recently because I remember I lost my fucking mind. Sunday morning flight, and I'm flying back to L.A., and I go to the bar and I was like, can I get a beer? And she was like, maybe in another city, Peckerhead. That's not what she said. But she was like, maybe in another city, but not in Boston.
Why? They drink.
But that can't possibly still be true.
You're notoriously the biggest group of alcoholics in the country.
Have I just never been in Boston on a Sunday? I can't even picture being told you can't have a cocktail at P.F. Chang's or wherever.
I can't be. Maybe it's after noon.
Yeah. Maybe it's after a certain time. Yeah, 6 p.m. or something. Because they have to open the bars at Sunday night.
And there's football on Sundays.
That's
like, how could
how
they?
How do you have a football game with no fucking
you
beer?
You got to plan ahead. In New York, at least, you have to plan ahead and buy shit on Saturday so you can have it for your games on Sunday.
It's ridiculous.
But that's for home.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in bars. Oh, yeah. There's no bars that are open on a Sunday afternoon.
That don't serve beer.
That don't serve drinks.
Yeah, maybe it was just the bodega I went to.
I think you can't buy it. I think there's still lots of places where you can't buy it in stores on Sunday. So you have to plan ahead.
Right, right.
But that's for personal consumption at home. If you're in a restaurant or a bar, I think.
You know what I love?
But let me know, because I'm going to be in Boston on a Sunday in a month or two. And
I want to drink.
And that's fucking ridiculous.
Hey, have you seen when you do the road, you do like a Tuesday, right? You like to do a Tuesday where you go in and you do a 420 show.
No, I don't do 420 shows on Tuesday cuz most of my fans have to work, but
oh, yeah.
Hi, doggy.
Priscilla.
She could get in if she wanted to, right?
No.
I bet you she could. Just put that knob in her mouth and turn it.
Right now she's running back. Leanne, they're still back.
They're in there.
So
what I do is on a Saturday or Sunday, I will book a 420 either stand-up show or Doug Loves Movies taping. And it's great because, like, just recently I was like, I really want to go to Denver, and I want to go to Denver soon. So I looked at the next weekend I had open, which is March 9th and 10th. And I had my agent call up Comedy Works and say, can Doug do a stand-up show on 420 on Saturday and a Doug Loves Movies taping on 420 on Sunday? And they are not going to say, we're booked.
Yeah.
You know, they got a headliner that night, but they don't got a show at 420 in the afternoon. Yeah. And everyone that works there, the ones that don't want to work on a Saturday afternoon don't have to, but plenty of employees want that whole extra show and all the extra tips and stuff.
Yeah. Do you look at the calendar and you go, like, this is probably well past the way you do business, but do you look at the calendar and go, Patton's going to be in Denver. I wouldn't mind being in Denver. I'll come in and do 420, or do you just go?
Yeah, no, I do. I look at the UFC calendar and go, UFC's going to be in Denver on Saturday. I'll go hang out with Joe and do a set in his show on Friday night, go to the UFC on Saturday, and then on Sunday I'll do my 420 matinee, and that's my work for the weekend.
And that's fucking – and Thursday night – everyone's like, guys, Doug Benson will be here, and everyone.
And the less shows you do, the more packed the place is.
Yeah.
Because most comedy clubs, they want you to do 6 or 7 shows over the course of a weekend. Yeah. And so you're going to have a couple shows, unless you're really killing it, unless you're Joey Diaz, you're going to have a couple shows where there's a bunch of empty seats.
They're light. Yeah.
Sometimes even more than a couple shows.
Just get all your fans into one show.
Yeah. So just if you only come to town more often. Like, I go to Denver 2 or 3 times a year, but I only do 1 or 2 shows. And they're packed.
Tommy, the staff kept going outside for a safety meeting. They kept calling them, say we needed to have a safety meeting outside. Like, what are safety meetings? Like, you can come with us. I'm like, all right. And it was just smoking weed.
They got an awesome stairwell at the downtown Comedy Works.
I just do the improv there. I've never done the Comedy Works.
Ooh, that's one of the top, like, I haven't been everywhere, but so just because of that, I'll say it's one of the top 5 rooms in the country.
Oh, it's great. Denver Comedy Works downtown.
That's so
dumb. It's low ceiling. The people's tables are just like a little, like, school table, so they pack a lot of people in. And, I mean, the only problem with it, and it's a, you know, it's a acceptable problem, is just that every show I do there, one person gets too drunk in the audience and has to be thrown out.
Oh, really?
And it's usually a woman. Yeah, and it's because I think that stoners come to my shows and then there's a drink minimum and they're not drinkers.
Yeah.
And then they drink anyway after getting high before coming in.
The combo
and
of it's, that makes it
and in
bad.
Denver, the altitude makes all that shit crazier.
And alcohol together is like they double up each other.
Yeah, and then you're the Mile High City, and God. So people just get too fucked up. But I still have a blast every time I play there.
I love Denver. I love playing there.
But UFC, bands I like, roller coasters I want to go on. I was just in Miami, but like this cruise I'm going to go on, I could have called up the Miami Improv and said, hey, can I do a 10 o'clock show after the 8 o'clock show on Thursday night? Because I'm going on the cruise on Friday. And they say, sure. And I go in and do a show. So that's how my schedule works. And now that I've said this out loud, I'm going to get a bunch of tweets from people, come to this city. You know, they're going to, and I'm going to be like,
concert?
But that's just because one person wants me to come to a city.
You'll be like, Muse is playing Red Rocks. I want to see that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll just go schedule a show in Denver and then go to it?
Yeah, it's more like the bands that I have friends in, like 311, and there's this band called Sleeper Agent that I'm a big fan of I go and see them sometimes. Motion City Soundtrack.
I'm doing my first 420 show.
I know, at the Parlor Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where
same thing.
I've been doing those there for years.
Wait, what's a 420? I mean,
at 420 in the afternoon.
You're doing a 420 show
on 420.
Yeah, they're
420
that weekend. Let's do the day
420. I want to do a 420 show, even though I don't really smoke pot.
Yeah, just have the pot smokers come out. It's on a Saturday.
Do you have a lot of pot smokers enjoy you, Bert?
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Yeah. March, April. I smoke pot a lot. When I was young.
I don't know. Most
Saturday,
pot smokers
I'm in
don't.
Omaha. Ooh, 311.
Yeah,
311's in Omaha.
They're from Omaha.
Yeah, I know. That's hence the
now.
Title
what would you say
band.
To the rumors that 311 stands for the 11th letter of the alphabet is K, and 3 times K is KKK because they're super anti-Semitic.
What?
That's what I heard.
That's crazy. They're the sweetest guys.
Did you hear that on CelebrityNetworth.com?
I remember being told that. In
they're super nice.
College.
And you know who's their biggest fan? And I always fuck this up, and people will crack me. Either Venus
property?
Or Serena Williams. One
really?
Of them. Yeah, on the first cruise, whichever one it was. I want to say it was Serena, but it might have been Venus. One of them was on the cruise and saw my stand-up show. And I have a bit in the show where I say, in my act, where I say that, you know, women don't – sense of humor is really not the number one thing to women. They like – what women really like is cocks and money. And but that's – but in polite society, women can't go around going, I love cocks and money. So then instead they say I like a good sense of humor. Yeah. And and I go – for some reason that night I said something like so, yeah, if I see you on the ship later, you know, so we're not all yelling cocks and money at each other. Just say CNM. And then when I met her, Serena or Venus, that's the she like shook my hand and was like, you know, had a little shy smile on her face and was like, CNM.
Shut
I was
up.
Like, holy shit. Wow. One of the Williams just said cocks and money to me.
No, wait, wow. Did you know she was at your show when you were before you got on stage?
No, but I knew she was on the boat because she's super into karaoke also. So on a couple different nights, Graham Elwood was running the karaoke and she'd get up and sing like I Will Survive or something.
You got to run karaoke.
Yeah, yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the energy for it.
Yeah.
He does these boats now where he doesn't do stand-up. He just has a microphone in the casino area and just encourages people to come – like just riffs about how people should come to the casino because, you know, the casino's where they –
yeah,
between the alcohol
yeah.
and the casino, that's where they're making all their money on those cruises.
He's like, just give me a mic stand. I can karate chop.
Yeah.
And we're okay. I'll do the rest.
That's really fucking interesting.
But where are you playing in Omaha? The Funny Bone?
Funny Bone, yeah.
Is that actually Omaha, or is that one of those ones where it's Omaha adjacent?
Well, I think so.
Because I play the Waiting Room Lounge there, and that's in a neighborhood they call Benson.
No, that's in
Omaha. Coincidentally.
Oh, really?
No,
in Omaha.
It's
yeah.
in Omaha. Colleen runs it. Colleen's fucking
but it's
awesome.
But it's not in a, like a specific neighborhood there or something?
I don't
area?
Know.
I thought it had a different name. Anyway, but yeah, if you could handle a three-show day. I'm doing
show.
The 420 show because I want to do a one-show day, and I want to be done with work at 6 o'clock.
We'll do a podcast during the day.
I might do a
podcast.
Yeah,
do a birdcast.
Birdcast out of
take questions from the crowd.
Yeah.
At 420 on 420.
Yeah.
But there's so much you can do with this shit, you guys, because like some of the places I play will sell a package where people – because my stand-up show and my Doug Loves Movies are going to be completely different shows.
Yeah.
Not the same jokes aren't going to be in either. So they'll do a package where for a couple bucks off on each, people can come both days.
God, that's
and
great.
So
that's
much, good. It's so
yeah,
much more fun than the system
just,
as it works
like
now.
I don't like doing live podcasts that are straight up podcasts. Like Doug Loves Movies is I don't see that as much as a podcast as I do a live show. Like I see that as a like it is it's podcasted, but it's the sensibility of it is we're playing games. We're all stand up. We're playing a game in front of an audience. It's like a game show.
Well, that's why I like having the audience there is because
it's a certain type of podcast.
It forces more specific jokes. Like right now, if we were doing this in front of an audience, we'd all be trying harder to get laughs. It would still be fun, but it'd be a different. It's a different vibe.
I don't like that energy. I have done a few live podcasts with people, and it's you turn into doing. You find an opening and you do a bit,
yeah,
and then you pretend you didn't do a bit, and I'm like, that's not the podcast I enjoy.
Yeah,
I don't know what I don't know what you're talking about.
No, certain things are like
I never do bits on podcasts, except for a few minutes ago when I did the Cox and Money story.
No, I meant like
in front of an audience. You mean?
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but that's most of the people that do my shows don't even try to do bits.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like Doug Loves Movies is a perfect environment for it. I think that Benson Interruption is a perfect environment for it. But I think that
Skeptic Tank would not work well with a live podcast.
Like this podcast wouldn't work great.
Well, it's you and one of your funny friends being funny in front of an audience. It would work fine.
But yeah, but you want to get into something that's like you want to be able to go to some place that's not funny for a while.
They will sit and listen to that.
But wouldn't the comedian feel like sees an audience and feel necessary?
Well, most comedians would ham it up and try to get jokes in and not be too sincere. But
I would love to do podcasts at colleges. That would be a great
I would.
Way.
I was just saying the other day that I would so much rather do Doug Loves Movies at a college than my stand-up.
Dude.
Because my stand-up is an old guy talking to kids about drugs and sex.
Right.
And my podcast is about movies. So, like, drugs and sex references get thrown in,
could
but it's
you
a,
have the kids?
It's a more generic...
Could you have the kids be on the show?
Yeah.
Or would you want comics?
I could play games with the kids. I could do whatever. But the trouble is that they're not. That's not what they're going to ask for, because the one thing where podcasts are not being heard, the one part of this world where they're being ignored
colleges?
Is colleges.
Oh, really?
There's certain students that hear them, but those are the nerdy ones that have several hours to be by themselves just listening to something. And college students are constantly around other college students.
Yeah, it's people who have commutes where they're alone.
I was at Duquesne University. Last week in Pittsburgh, and one guy was a really big fan of my podcast, and he was the one guy who had an internet, who had a radio show, who sat by himself and was a little. His name was Alex, and he was just the coolest kid. And you knew when you come to LA, when you decide to when you decide to come to LA, you're going to make a splash.
I can't help that.
Oh, no. Bert can actually.
I can. I just had
just
to squeeze
drop one. Yeah, but that's. Oh.
Yeah, then they smell in the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I farted on a mic on stage one time, brought it to my face, almost threw up.
It smells way more putrid.
I was like, and everyone's like, yeah! And then I was like, that was
just throw up on the people that are cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah. That went from great to horrible so fast.
Only thing more awkward than that was in Columbus one time. This lady... said she wanted to propose to her husband and do it on her boyfriend and do it on stage, and I was like, oh, okay, like I've done it for guys. I did the best one for a dude, the best one ever. I was in Virginia Beach.
Have you changed your own story three times now, like rapid succession?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm tagging. So I said, so I did, but I did the same. I'll tell you the first one, then that'll tag, and then I've already told you the beginning of the second one. So what I did is I put a blindfold around the girl. I brought them up. I said, we're going to play a game. Put a blindfold around the girl, and I said, you've got to feel our stomachs and say which one is your man's and which one's mine, okay? So I put the blindfold on. I go, all right, put your hand out. Then he drops on her knee with the ring, and then I pull the thing off of her, and she starts sobbing, and he's like, will you marry me? On stage.
She was so upset because she wanted to touch your stomach.
Right, yeah. Right. So I do it.
Look at the stomach.
So here's the worst part. So I go, I'll just use the same thing with the dude and the girl, with the girl that wants to, I'll just blindfold the dude. We'll play a game. But then I never thought out the game. So I was like, and she was a little overweight. I was like, all right, you got to feel one of our, and I'm like, what fucking part of our body? Like, cause I got a beard. It's not the face. It's like, oh my motherfucker. But I've already got him blindfolded. And so as I'm stalling, I go, get ready. And then she gets on her knee. I pull the fucking blindfold off. He sees it and he makes direct eye contact with me and starts shaking his head. No. Like, you fucking asshole.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh, God. And then she's
why
like,
why did you think that
I,
would?
I won't know. It's not my responsibility to decide whether or not they get engaged. And they want to do it.
But she was going
to
ask him?
Yep.
Because he would never ask her because he didn't want to get married.
But I can't say to the girl who brought her dude here because he's a fan of mine not to. I can't say. No, I won't do that. I mean, I guess I theoretically
you
I could.
You so can say that. Like I've never done such a thing would be my answer.
Well, I said yes.
What are you,
the guy to the girl. I was like, fuck. Stroop's like, would you do it? And I was like, fuck yeah.
I've seen
like,
it happen
cool.
before. It's pretty amazing.
I've done it. The one I did in Virginia Beach was magical. It was the best. And, of course, no one got it on tape. Never got fucking seen. Never got passed around. Jim Jefferies gets punched in the head and he's a goddamn fucking Mega Million star. But just joking. I think Jim Jefferies is very talented. I wasn't the same on Jim. But this could have been my fucking moment of all of a sudden I got people coming. Anyway, so I tell Stroop, yeah, I'll do it. So then he goes, cool. I'm going to bring him back. And I go, sure. And he comes back and it's a girl. And I was like, I've already said I'll do it. And I'm like, hey. And she was like, so you're cool with this? And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
And then I'm like already in it. And I'm like, fuck. But the guy said yes. And then it was a thumb ring, I think, I want to say.
Oh, he did say yes.
He did say
yes. He gave you the dirty look and then said yes.
He gave me the dirty look and he was like, yeah, of course.
So it was more like he was just mad at you for making it a public thing. Like he didn't want to.
For me going like, as a guy, he was like, dude, you should have known better. This does not happen this way. Like that's what the eyes said to me, and I was like, "I'm sorry."
Oh yeah,
I got fucking pulled.
Yeah, for the rest of their marriage, she's gonna have this stupid story about how she had to propose to him.
Yeah,
ugh, he's gonna have to live with it.
I was like, I don't want to believe in, I don't want to lay down sexism, but I do believe the man should propose to the woman. I distinctly believe that.
Well, or if she's gonna do it, you know, do it at home. And then the story you tell all your friends is that he asked.
Yeah. I used to make a joke about it, but I used to propose to Leanne all the time after we had already got engaged.
Over and over again.
All the fucking time in public.
Just, oh, really?
Oh, fucking all the time at fucking Ralph's. Just
you know what I did? The opposite. I would I'd be sitting there at like restaurants on in Santa Monica, I remember. And the wife, I would just sit there like waiting for like 5 minutes. And then she would come in walk, and she goes, "What the fuck are you doing here? You said you had to work today." And I was like, "Oh,
wait,
no,
who is this with?"
My ex.
You were married?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, for a few years.
To who?
Allie. Some girl.
I didn't know
you
that.
You talked about her on his podcast, but I didn't know you married her. I thought it was just one of the ones that was like one of the hardest to get over or whatever.
No, she wasn't that hard to get over, that one.
Really?
Yeah. We just kind of fizzled out. We became friends. I was like, let's just stop. But anyway, but she would come and say, "What the fuck?" And she would start yelling, and then she'd throw a glass of water in my face and storm out and have to chase after her.
And that was like kind
of laugh outside. But everyone got a scene.
Can't believe that didn't work out, because that's so great that the two of you have that sense of humor.
What time's your heart out, Doug?
Oh.
Heart out?
I get to have a heart out?
Well, yeah, I know you have a meeting.
How serious are they about the parking outside?
No.
Like there's a 2-hour limit, so.
No way.
That's what it says.
Yeah, but it's 2 hours.
But how often do they come around and check? How often do they check?
I don't know.
What if the guy checked right after I got out of the car?
I guess he does. Just
I did see a couple parking enforcement people right outside your car talking.
No, you didn't.
Making notes and stuff.
With pieces of chalk marking on the tire. I did the best fucking
half an inch.
I did the best thing. There was a lady going to give my car a ticket, and as I was running up, I was like, I already know how this is going to end. I'm not going to be able to like stop her. This is when I was single. And I was having coffee with Gary Goldman, and it was at the Starbucks over by La Brea and like Melrose, or
and that's Beverly. Important because
that's the parking there was a nightmare because there was a parking lot next to
what happened when you ran up to her.
I go running up. I'm like, ah, fuck it, it's not gonna work. So I just hit the panic button on my alarm on my car.
I was scared.
And it scared the living shit out of her, and then I just was like, fuck it, I don't want to go. I'm like halfway to my car. I don't want to like. Turn it off, and then she yells at me, so I just walked past my car. I was like, I already got the ticket, and she fucking, and I was like, personal victory to me.
Nice.
Yeah. I would have gone over and laughed at her.
No, I just kept walking. I have a weird thing with confrontation.
I was on Hollywood Boulevard with Diaz, and we saw some Armenian guys screaming at this black lady who was giving out tickets and stuff. And he was like, this is fucking bullshit, fuck you. How are you doing this? And she was like, sir, trying to calm him down, but he kept like yelling at her. And then eventually she goes, sir, I wasn't even working. I just got on shift. It was not me. I just got here. That ticket was an hour ago. And so he's clearly like, oh, I'm yelling at the wrong person.
Yeah.
It's fucking Armo. He just goes, still. Like, what still? What are you talking about? It wasn't her.
Really?
She didn't give me the ticket.
He's
still against the idea of getting, like, people get so, and I felt it myself, when you get a ticket, you have to get mad at someone other than yourself.
Yeah,
but you're the one that parked where you're not supposed to or didn't read the sign. And sometimes the signs are tricky, so you feel like you were fucking tricked.
Get mad at someone other than yourself, and you're the only one to blame.
Well, and the idea of tickets, but like, how do you think things are paid for in a city?
Yeah.
You know, how do you think this city is
also
not bankrupt?
Why there are ever spots available because people have to leave them or they'll get tickets.
Yeah.
There was a guy we used to live down in like down by La Brea and Wilshire. Mm-hmm. And the girls went to school right around there at this school that was predominantly Korean, but it was a great public school. And the parking was a nightmare. That was a big problem about taking the kids to school because it was in Hancock Park. So the parking was fucking impossible. So sometimes you'd have to park like 4 blocks away. And so one day I pulled up and I just parked illegally. And I was like, because the bell was about to ring. Georgia was like in kindergarten and I couldn't let her come out of the classroom and not see me. Like that's just one of my panic things. Uh-huh. So I go and I park illegally. And as I pull up, there's a meter guy and he's like, hey man, you're going to have to move that. And I was like, yeah. I go, you know what? I'm going to have to take the ticket. And he was like, excuse me? And I go, I'm going to just take the ticket. You can write it for me. But I go, I got a little girl and she's in kindergarten and I'm not going to let the bell ring and her not see me. So that is fine for me. I don't mind. Just give me the ticket. I got to go see my daughter. I got to get my daughter. Walked away and the guy was like confused. Like, how the fuck? and walked away. Came back. There's a ticket on my car. Nothing typed out. Nothing. And it was just blank.
Oh, like, really?
He put it on
he
there.
Did the math in his
but,
head.
Yeah, and he was like, fuck it, man. I'll be a good guy. I'll let that guy go get his daughter. And he put a ticket in there, but there was nothing typed. Just a.
So it could look like he was doing
it
his
looked
job.
Like it was like the envelope or whatever. And I just, yeah. And I ran back. I looked. I was like, I got the ticket. And I looked at it. It was empty. I was like, ah, fucking karma.
I think someone else saw the whole thing go down, went over and took the ticket out of the envelope, and there's probably a bench warrant for you right now.
Yeah. I used to take tickets off
an unpaid ticket
on my car so I could park illegally.
There you go.
Yeah.
Humanitarian move, that is.
You know what my buddy Hutch used to do? He used to have a sign on the front of his car that said clergy, and he put it up there whenever he parked illegal. Clergy.
So it made people wonder, like,
No one gives a fucking priest a ticket.
Yeah.
Posehn used to have two things. Yesterday I was walking down the street in Hollywood and I saw a car with a ticket on it, but I could see that there was something else next to the ticket, and I went and looked, and the people who owned the car had put, "Please don't give us a ticket. The car's broken down." And right next to it's a fucking ticket. I should have taken a picture of it.
Yeah.
But Posehn used to have a bit about he'd go to like a little mini mall and put a note on somebody's car apologizing for hitting it, and then to go hide somewhere and watch them walk around the car looking for damage.
Good one, Brian. Nice.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
I hope he really did it and it wasn't just a
Reed
bit.
Used to him and his friends used to take a shit in a coffee cup and then put it on a gas station, like a gas tank thing. Just leave it in the center console, like on top of it.
Really?
Yeah, and then just go across the street. And he said he would smoke and drink 40s and just watch people like filling up their gas tank and go like, "What's that smell?" And then I look and I'm like, "Oh." And like, okay, where they were just sitting and enjoy themselves.
So weird.
Do there, yeah.
Have to shit in a cup to pull off that prank.
Yeah, that's a necessary.
You have to do something insanely degrading to make other people make us. That's a bad smell face.
God damn. I spent the night in Eunice, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Shooting a pilot for travel. And the guy, like the night before we're about to leave, the guy in the room next to me is having the biggest fucking rave. And it's just him. I'm imagining it's a him with a couple other people, and they're just fucking blowing up because it's drum and bass, doom 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 doom. Which, you know, music's one thing, but that drum goes through the fucking walls. So I called on the front. I called 10 times. I called on the front, and they were like, "Yeah, I'll get him to turn it down." And he did turn it down. But then apparently he called back down and was like, "He hasn't complained in a while. Can I turn it back up?" And they were like, "Yeah, go ahead."
What?
So he turned it back up. I called 10 times. They couldn't get him to fucking stop. I finally got up, went to the fucking gym, did not sleep at all, went to the gym, worked out, came back, music's off. And I'm like, I so badly want to fuck with him, like just start blaring music to wake him up. But then I was like, no, I'll take it to the next level. So I just fucking called his room.
I thought, no.
No, yeah. I'll be nice.
Next level.
I called his room and just kept calling, going, "Hey, man, is Peter there?" And he was like, "There's no Peter here." Because I called him. I go, "I need room 319. They'd be like, "Sure." They send it up to him. And I'd be like, "Peter, come on, man. I know Peter's there. Just come on, man. Put Peter on the phone. I know where you're in room 319, fucker. Put Peter on the room." I was driving to the airport. I did it like fucking 4 times. Finally, he's like, "I'll fucking kill you." And I was like, "Yeah, we're even."
Nice. Doug looks in wonderment at you right now.
You sure Peter is in there? Because that music is kind of he loves.
I love that he hasn't complained in a while. I could turn it back up. I was like, yeah. No, he hasn't complained because you turned it down.
I called back and I said to the girl, I go, "Listen, I fucking, it's back up." She goes, "Yeah, I know. He called and asked if I could turn it back up." And I said, "Yeah, because I thought you were asleep." I was like, "Yeah, but it woke me up the first time, and it woke me up the second time." Like,
as soon as they think, that's when they're making their mistake.
Yeah,
because that kind of shit happens. Like, it's amazing to me. We could all probably go nuts with travel stories, but it's amazing to me when you have a do not disturb sign on your door, and invariably they will call you on the phone and say, "Do you want your room clean?"
You have
it's
a
like,
sign
what
on your door.
I put the mean?
Well, because the thing is,
don't
I guess
me. You're disturbing.
I guess
me.
If it's on there for.
Couple days,
yeah.
Fuck that! Don't disturb.
They think you might be dead in there.
In New York, they will come into your room.
They'll slip something under the door. Okay. A lot of places,
In New York, they'll come into your room. I was with my buddy.
Anyway,
my buddy Weecho and I. This is before literally the week before I met Leanne. I'm with my best buddy Weecho. He was like the second dude on my podcast, right? Peruvian dude I've known since we were kids. He's up there, and we're partying. He lives in New York. I'm visiting, and we're drinking in my hotel room with this chick, and we're both kind of like flirting with her or whatever, and but nothing really happened. She spent the night kind of, but no one hooked up. She spent the night kind of, and then she left.
Anal.
And because she spent the night, Weecho also spent the night in my room. So it's me and him, and it was this girl in this bed, and then she leaves. Now it's me and him in the bed, and we're in jeans. We're like, fuck it, we get in our boxers. Me and him are in boxers. I've had this do not disturb sign for a week. Fucking 6 in the morning, security comes in, and I thought we were getting broken into, so I have this like scramble panic in my boxers. So does Weecho. It looks like we were just having sex.
Yeah.
Like we're just like, what the fuck? And they're like, we got to make sure everything's okay in here, and there's beer cans everywhere. But yeah, I was the closest I've ever come to getting walked in on for gay sex.
I have a friend who, and he doesn't lie, he doesn't brag, so that's why I think it's true. But he didn't put the do not disturb sign on, and the lady came in, you know, to clean his place, and he had a boner. And then he was pretty much like, oh, she goes, I'm sorry. And he goes, and he just pulled back the covers and showed the boner, and they fucked.
I've seen maybe probably one out of every 200 people that would come in to clean my room in a hotel, I would even be interested in having sex with.
My number's a lot higher than that.
Oh, fuck it.
10? 10 out of 100?
I'd 50? Almost say 50-50.
What?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of hot ones.
Are you turned
recently.
On by someone in a cleaning outfit?
Yeah, maybe it's the outfit.
I think it might be. It might be the and then like especially
and if they're going to have to clean up all your jizz everywhere.
No, there's a big wave of Russians that are cleaning rooms these days.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That I've been noticing a lot of.
All right.
I wonder if some of those wouldn't mind an extra $50. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's a really tough.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough sell.
It is a tough sell.
Like how would you word that? I've never been able to word, can I get a hand job at the end of this massage?
Yeah.
Like the whole reason I just have never asked for one is because I don't know how that happens. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that can be like, and how about.
I remember they took me some stripper and at the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas going like, we can go to the other room and we can have, you know, more fun. And I was
yeah,
I
more
to like,
fun.
For $200 long. I was like, what is that? Exactly what do I get with that?
Yeah.
I want to know exactly what I get. Are we just talking? Are we going
to
talk?
And she couldn't say it, right?
No, and then I'm like,
they're not allowed to say it because then that's prostitution.
I guess so. Whisper it.
Still prostitution because a deal is being made for a specific thing.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas just 200 for more fun, and that more fun means your dick's going to be in me.
Jason
but
Nash's bachelor party was pretty fucking.
Jason who?
Jason Nash. You know Jason Nash?
Uh-huh.
Jason Nash's bachelor party was pretty fucking out of control in that manner.
A lot of guys with feelings there.
A lot of guys with feelings. I used to do that was a podcast that was around a long time ago.
Nash?
Yeah. Guys with feelings. And then it just kind of, I guess they stopped doing it and then podcast blew up.
And then he started again. He's on the Sklar Brothers podcast.
He's on, is he really?
Oh,
yeah,
he
does. He's on there a lot. He does characters, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start having characters on here.
Yeah, people call in randomly. That's a good idea.
Do like bits.
He has them in the, Sklar Brothers have him in the room with everybody, right?
I think so. I don't really
like
know.
Jason does them, and the guy Chris Cox does them, I think.
Cox.
Wait, how long have you been doing stand-up, Ari?
13 years. Almost 14 now.
How long have you been doing it, Doug?
Long enough that you should have asked me
like
first. This
years.
Is my interview.
Sorry.
Are you afraid to be alone with me? Is that why you
exactly why
told Ari to come over?
Yeah, I was like, Ari, I don't know what to say.
We just did. Ari and I just did like 3 hours of.
Like that one, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Like fucking Doug.
Okay. I wanna fucking do more podcasts from that spot.
That's great.
Where is it?
If you ever want me to do it again,
the front patio of the Comedy Store.
The patio. We just sat on that bar.
On a warm day.
With a couple of waters and our sunglasses and
watch people walk by
and microphones
up.
Just like this. So we're just sitting there and like you know just saying obnoxious things to people as they walk by, but talking to each other. This group of like a tour group came by on bikes and stopped and smoked some weed with us. A couple of cute girls.
Are you serious?
It was so much fun.
It was like to Doug. She was like, wait a minute. Do I know? Like first she looked at him. Then he talked. She was like, do I know you from somewhere? Then he brought a joint to his lips. He goes, oh, you're Doug Benson. You're that guy.
You're Doug Benson. Wait. Is that your podcast?
Uh-huh.
And you do it from there sometimes?
Sometimes.
In the middle of the afternoon?
Burr from there. And he started making fun of the tour groups, the tour buses that come by. Doug Benson and I, we had fun.
And then it's like doing a radio remote, but you're not asking people to come hang out. You're just dealing with the people that just happen to be walking
by.
They
happen to walk by on a nice day on Sunset Strip.
That's fucking so
cool. Dudes from Chill walk by and he has a special on Chill
Com right now.
Yeah.
And
you're going to do them with them too, right?
Well, that's the thing. When you were asking me that stuff, you were talking to me about it when we hadn't announced yet. And I didn't want to get a bunch of tweets from people saying, oh, you're going to be on Chill. But now it's official that it's coming out on Chill. It's already on. You can pre-order it now. It's on the website. So now mine's right above yours on their website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. And so.
What is chill.com?
Chill.com is like it's a new place for
platform.
A platform for like filmmakers and musicians and comics to, if they have something that they want to sell directly to their fans, you know, Louis C.K. style.
Yeah.
So they set it all
up. You could
up.
Just do it through Chill. They've got it all.
And then you have to pay them like a percentage, I guess.
Percentage, yeah. They'll own like 30%.
But are you selling your movie?
So the movie, greatest movie ever rolled. It's for the pre-order. It's $6.40, and then for after the pre-order period ends on March 11th. That's the official release date. Is 3/11 as it turns out.
$8.
And then it's $7.99.
Okay.
And they thought it was that was their decision. I would have sold it for $5, but they were like, but this isn't just a comedy special. This isn't just stand up. This is like a real movie.
What is it? What is the greatest movie ever rolled?
It's a sort of, my idea of a sequel finally to Super High Me. Morgan Spurlock did the movie Greatest Movie Ever Sold. So I'm continuing to do the Spurlock puns.
I love how you talk about this. Like, whatever he does, I'm just going to do a weed
version. I'm just going to do a weed version of it. Like then he did a movie about Comic-Con in San Diego, so I did Chronicon. That's going to come out someday.
But that hasn't been finished yet?
No, it hasn't. We haven't even started editing.
Are you talking all about the business of marijuana or the business of getting sponsors for your movie?
No. It's a movie about me going out on tour to make money to make a movie about going out on tour. Because Spurlock's movie was about putting product placement in a movie to raise money to make a movie about product placement movie. So I did the same kind of thing. But, that's where the connection pretty much ends, It's because the movie's basically – it's following me and Graham Elwood around
garage next door.
As we go to seven cities in 7 days. And
so did
– Great question, Bert.
Thanks.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Yeah. Where –
Chill? You want to know about Chill or you want to know about the movie?
I don't know what my question was going to be now.
But anyway, go to chill.com if you're listening to this and get my movie, Ari's stand-up special.
Your stand-up special is going to be
And then
there.
Below his is Maria Bamford's special where she did stand-up for just her parents.
I knew what I was going to say. Yeah. So when you made Super High Me, I think I told you this one time.
I think it might have been outside my gym over on Cole.
Right by Georgia's preschool.
Mm-hmm.
That was where Georgia went to preschool.
Yeah, you ran at me while I was trying to get into my car, and you were like double parked.
It's so funny, my story is so much better.
Georgia goes to
Doug was.
It was very. You were very very friendly, but it was.
Doug was in between sets smoking a joint because he likes to power lift and get high. So he was powerlifting.
You do have a different version of the story. I've never gone out and gotten high and gone back into the gym.
My version is so much better.
Have you ever power lifted?
Not really power lifted. I've lifted some things.
He was definitely sweating, and I thought he was looking. I guess he was filming with his keys. I thought he was hiding a bowl from me. I don't know why.
He's trying to get in my car. Like, oh no.
But I told you, I was like, it's the greatest. I love when you see a marketing scheme that works on accident. Like, I know you didn't make Super High Me to sell to G4 so that they could play all fucking day long, but you did, and they did. And I was like, it's genius.
Yeah.
Like now I've seen Super High Me maybe 7 times because it would come on a G4 and I was like, well, it's definitely entertaining. It'll be what I watch. Like,
yeah. And then G4 decided to not be the weed channel anymore and just stopped cold turkey. Like they just stopped showing it. Yeah.
Well, they showed it for a while though.
They showed it for a long while. Yeah. And plenty of people have seen it. So that's why a new documentary was in order instead of just doing a stand up.
Do you have any say in the editing of it, or do you
all of it? Like that's the other thing about it is,
but
it's
are
like
you afraid it'll turn into a fluff piece.
Who?
Like that's I'm doing
it's
my documentary.
Movie.
I know, but I'm doing my documentary, and I'm like,
uh oh, okay, look at the time.
I'm doing my documentary, and I'm nervous that they're going to like. I want it to be super honest and super.
Then you decide that.
What?
Then you do that.
Yeah, but I was just like, I shouldn't even touch it. I shouldn't even look at the editing. I should let them edit it themselves. Oh, right. And then, but because if I have my hands on it, it'll be like that email I wrote to the girl that was in a car accident. It'll be like a fucking fluff piece. It'll be like, yeah, we get it, Bert. We get it. Right. Like, you're fucking amazing. Like, I feel like they have to show
that's the thing is you got to try to show
you got to try to depict. I had a little bit of a say. I had like there was four people that determined everything that went into Super High Me. So there was like things that there's things about that movie that you know.
What's his name?
Yeah, what's his name? And those other two
the
fellas.
The guy that got mugged with all the equipment.
Yeah, Mike Blyden.
Mike Blyden. I love Mike Blyden. You remind me of Mike Blyden a little bit.
Every time, this is when I knew when Mike Blyden bought the commercial, because people were like, hey, dude, saw that Microsoft spot.
Yeah,
like,
saw that Blyden, and saw that vacuum commercial you were in.
Yeah, we always get confused for each other.
But, yeah, so he directed it, but like it was just one of those things where there was just a lot of, and then the people who paid for it, so there's just a lot of people that had opinions, and Super High Me isn't exactly what I would have wanted it to be. It's exactly what people wanted it to be. Like, people like it.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I think, you know, it does a good job of showing, like, you know, everything that I went through during that period. But now that it's all, I get to make all the decisions.
Yeah.
I did that on, well, you know, for G4, we did a special called The High Road that was just one episode that didn't become a series because I got scared off of the pot.
Yeah.
The pot content. But on that, I had a little bit more say. Like, I'm just trying to get more say with each thing, but work with people who are just going to capture what's really happened.
Yeah.
And then we edit it into
a story.
The greatest movie I ever rolled isn't like, doesn't have much of a story, like a beginning, middle, and end. It's more just like, here's, we went on these dates and here's what happened.
Does it show some of your stand up?
But it's, yeah, there's stand up mixed in with, but there's a lot of stuff of just, you know, stuff like going on morning TV and goofing around and stuff like that. And, but it's edited for the comedy. Like,
right.
I just left in everything funny that happened.
Yep.
And so I sat there and said, let's take that out because it's not funny enough. That's funny. Let's leave that in.
Yeah.
You know,
my editors are going to make it a revealing depiction of what that was exactly like, as opposed to they're going to put a lot of my comedy in it, but I don't know what they're, I don't know.
You should maybe have them take a pass at it and then this chunk of stand-up I'd rather not be in there.
Oh, I'm going to completely have a finger in deciding it, but my part of me feels like the best way to – like I know there's one part where I blow up at this fucking Czechoslovakian girl. I don't know what I said because I was drunk, but she was like, this is not funny. And I was like, fuck you. And I'm sure I said a little more than that. I might have dropped the C word, but Catholic. And so, I don't know. But the reason I started doing my movie ultimately was because I was watching yours so much. And then I was like, it's such a great vehicle to show stand up. And it's such a great way to kind of get to know the artist a little bit and kind of see like another side of him. There was one.
Have you, you know, Eddie Pepitone's got a documentary.
I heard it was
Bitter
good.
Buddha.
Bitter Buddha. And I saw it at a film festival, comedy festival.
He's someone I'd want to see the darks. I'd want to see the stuff he didn't want in there.
I want to see him wake
up. That's the thing. And I don't think he, like, he may have had a little bit of say, but I think it's more like a filmmaker followed him around and made this, you know, put it together.
Yeah, it is. Like, Super Size Me was Morgan Spurlock making that and editing and directing and starring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like he's going to make all the decisions.
Like when I watch
Falling to Friedman's is like it's
when I watch Wilco's are you trying to break my heart? Am I trying to break your heart?
Yeah.
There's clearly undertones that he is addicted to heroin and he's having a hard time and he's not all there, and that made me fucking fall in love with Jeff Tweedy, and I was like, God damn it, that is, I connected with them. I saw there was a Blind Melon. I know you're going to make fun of me. There was a Blind Melon documentary that I was obsessed with because it showed the flaws of Shannon Hoon. And I was like, I want to see the broken part. The broken part was what makes me. And so I said that to these. I go, I want to show my broken parts. And then part of me goes, I wonder if I accentuated them because I wanted to romanticize some broken.
Yeah, but if you try to look good, I think then it comes off as like.
There's a great road rage scene in Graham is driving when we're in Michigan. We're in Detroit. We just got out of doing morning radio. And we get into a thing where a couple cars almost hit us. And so that's in the movie, but then also he just goes on this really angry rant with me stoned in the back seat laughing at him.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's the sort of thing that it was real and it was funny, so it got in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Funny, you're right.
We don't really stage much of anything in it.
I didn't stage anything.
It's really documentary style, but also.
Where are you going
to
put yours?
I got to decide what was going to be
know,
in
I
the movie.
I haven't figured it out yet.
I'll talk to the guys from Chill.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that you have to release it on the internet. I don't know, maybe sell it as
they're
a
good
special.
At doing this too. They bundle stuff up.
You know, if
like,
a movie
like get the T-shirt and the special,
if a movie turns out, if it turns out really well, and it's not just for Bert Kreischer fans,
I'm gonna have a screening where I invite all you guys over to see the first cut.
I cannot wait to pass on that invitation.
You're such a fucking. Sometimes I don't know when you're kidding, and I leave like I go. We leave like a Death Squad show, and I go. I wonder if Doug really likes me. All right, Leanne's hounding us on the outside now.
Okay,
she's ready to go pick up her car.
All right.
Scattering a new phantom.
Oh, I was just going to say, though, you know, finish the movie.
What? Nothing.
Finish. Instead of overthinking it, finish the movie.
Yeah.
Make it as great as you possibly can. And then try to get it into, like, a film festival and try to get, like, a distributor or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't settle for just putting it on the internet. But that's what you're going to be able to do with it if you do have to settle.
Yeah. That's the great part about this.
I just wanted to get this fucking movie out. We finished it like over a year ago, year and a half ago, and finished shooting it, you know. And we played at a festival, and people really liked it. But, like, you know, it's just not the kind of movie that's going to play in theaters.
Yeah.
You know? I don't have enough juice to make that happen.
Yeah, I don't think
either. But, you know, we sell a lot on Chill, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people buy it on Chill. Then that opens up some doors, maybe, because you can point to the specific numbers. Well, this many people downloaded this, so let's do my next project. And, you know, then that gives people more confidence. Or Netflix or...
Yeah, super high,
Encore or Showtime.
Pretty big. It was always on.
Well,
stuff.
Yeah. They pushed it pretty hard, and it's still a perennial. Like if you watch a documentary on Netflix, there's a good chance they'll say you might also like Super Jaime.
Wow. That's fucking great.
Yeah. So everybody's seen that, and I don't have any real profit participation in it because of how shitty deals are sometimes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Netflix?
Yeah, I don't...
Fuck, that just let my dream go of how
I pictured
your mansion.
Yeah, but way more people come see you on stage now.
You have a fucking...
Oh, it did wonders for me, for my career and for my life
more
in general, because I can go anywhere, especially Eugene, Oregon, walk down the street and have people trying to get me, offering to get me high.
That's got
to
be more than Last Comic Standing, right?
What?
The draw you get off Super Jaime.
Last Comic Standing was big because it was, you know, it was primetime television, you know, like that's millions of people, you know, watching it on every week, you know. Yeah. So
that's, I feel like that's not lasting.
Lasting draw. No, now it's all Super Jaime because Last Comic Standing is a memory. It's not rerunning anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Whereas this Super Jaime, there's somebody right now watching it for the first time, and I'm going to get a tweet from them saying
South Africa is
good job, or you're a lightweight, or whatever.
South Africa is getting Last Comic Standing
just now.
Yeah,
I think I just got a check for Last Comic Standing, so that might be it.
When I was there, the episode when I was doing the tour there, the episode with Dat Fan was running, and it was like halfway through I was doing radio, and they're like, "We just started watching." I'm doing a bad accent. Last Comic Standing with the big guy, Ralphie May, and I went, "Yeah." Dat Fan wins that one. They're like, "What? What? Are you kidding me?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry,
you spoilers."
I was like, "You guys don't have the internet. You don't know how that works."
Spoilers.
But yeah, I was like, "And Kaiser Soze is Kevin Spacey."
Well, I'll be real excited when they get to my seasons because I, you know, that
probably there
last
right
comic,
now.
Last Comic kind of taught me how to behave in a documentary. Like it taught me how to just be myself while being on camera.
Yeah,
and be funny, not just
know
be
how to
boring.
Do that when I did it. Hey, when can you? I want to do this. I want to do this again.
Let's do it tomorrow.
I'm here tomorrow.
No, I'm taking off.
Do you know Chris Gore?
I got to go to.
I want you and Chris Gore to be the new Edmund and what's the thumbs up?
That's not going to happen. So don't even pursue it.
Fuck. Well, hour and 51 minutes.
I would murder him if I had to sit around and argue about movies with him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We have very different opinions.
That's what I'm talking about right
yeah,
there.
But you know, Siskel and Ebert agreed on a lot of things.
Let's do this.
But
again.
Thanks for having me. We'll do it again for sure.
Yeah.
And go to chill.com and get Doug and
go to chill.com.
Chill.com. And then do you have any dates coming up? I'm going to air this probably next week.
That's all I want to talk about is get Greatest Movie. And you can go to douglasmovies.com for like tour dates.
I want to do the Benson Interruption with the Machine story if you get a chance.
I would love to have you do that.
Ari?
I'm going to be in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix the 22nd through the 24th.
All right. I like that place.
God bless you guys. This episode was brought to you by The Machine.